Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't
you? For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass!
Thud!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
Shazoo's the Terrible! Always looking Shazoo! Chaos of the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Traveling learning here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shazaz the Terrible here. You're listening to Shazaz Radio, and I'm not sure, we're not going out on Awake Radio this morning, but we are going out on No Borders and multiple other networks. So with that said, I'm here with my honorable knight Kent. How you doing there, brother?
Pretty good. How are you doing this wonderful morning?
Oh, I think I'm doing all right. It's kind of one of those days when you wake up and you're kind of analyzing life and all that kind of stuff, you know. We were talking there for a second before we actually came on air about what we were actually going to talk about today. Anyway, yeah, I was talking about, feel like I'm in the waiting room here, you know. We hear all these different things that's supposed to be going on around the world, but yet, you know, it's like doomsday, you know. They keep moving doomsday, the date. Like, started off, you know, back in the year 2000, the computers were going to crash, and then, oh wait, they're not going to crash, and then doomsday was scooted up a bit. So, you know, they keep it's like being in a race and somebody keeps moving the finish line. What do you think about
that? That's no doubt. Yeah, it's. But then again, you know, is it real or is it fantasy or is it just a psychological operation by the CIA or NSA to keep everybody, you know, all discombobulated?
You know, you got a point. You know, a lot of people go to, like, spook houses for that thrill, that excitement, you know. Not that they would really want to be, like, chased around by chainsaws in real life or anything like that, or zombies. But it almost seems like they're catering to the entertainment of all the people, just kind of keeping them pacified and, you know, seeking out the mysteries of what's going on in the world and trying to figure out the pieces of the puzzle and all that. But ain't nothing really happening. You know, at least not in my neighborhood. I know that there's wars going on somewhere over there. At least I think there is, because I've been told so on TV. But once again, like you said, well, how do you know what's what anymore?
Well, it's pretty obvious that everything you you see on TV is pretty much a diversion of what is really happening. You know, I mean, you see the stock market rising, you see a whole bunch of economic indicators that say, hey, things are getting better, but people down the street aren't getting better. Nobody's actually really benefiting from this better. It's just total fantasy.
Yeah, when you talk to the average Joe, like I did yesterday, I went to a really cool deal. Is essentially alternative living, and they had people there that were doing juicing and cheese making and butter making and homemade mayonnaise and apple cider and all these different natural remedies, and man, the list goes on. There was a blacksmith there, a guy doing solar energy, and some folks doing first aid, and I was doing alternative energy. So there was all these booths like a little fair. And I had the opportunity to go around and meet and talk with a lot of individuals. And, you know, they're pretty much the same way I am. Whenever I told them, you know, it's like this. We're not going to be able to wait around for any corporation or any government to do anything to make any difference in this world. I said, if it's going to be done, it's just going to be we do it. We don't call up and ask for permission. We don't try to get no license or anything. I'll show you how to run your car on hydrogen. You run your car on hydrogen and tell your brother how to do it and so on down the line. You know, we just do it because the red tape involved in asking it's ludicrous, you know.
Oh, it's absolutely ludicrous. And it's just another way to shake a few more dollars out of your wallet.
Yeah,
it's all designed to just basically take, and never give.
That's the biggest key that you just said. The whole thing, the corporations, they want your money. The governments, they want your tax money. Whatever name it comes under, they're still wanting your money. So it's all about money. I mean, how many problems have they solved with all the money that they've yanked from us, you know? Can you think of anything they fixed?
I don't know of any problems solved, just problems created.
Yeah, the government going to be running the fast food joints before too long. Probably worse than it is now. How much worse could it get?
I don't think it could get much worse, but you got a point. Eventually, it's going to be the people that have skills that are able to do things, you know, like the blacksmith, like, you know, converting your car to hydrogen, things like that. And the people that don't have skills are going to be in some serious trouble. I think everybody with half a brain knows that they can't keep printing money like it's gone out of style. Eventually, that has to stop. And when it does, the whole thing's going to come down like a deck of cards. It's just gonna implode, and then. You know, what are you going to do? You got just-in-time delivery where, you know, 3 days the supermarkets are out of food. What are you going to do then?
Yeah, and I think if you, unless you're just flat-out stupid or way asleep and can't recognize the signs, even the government knows they can't maintain it. I mean, look at all these different agencies that are popping up, like the TSA and all the different... the federal emergency management, things like that, and how the police are being militarized. You know, on one hand, you could look at it on a biblical sense to where, you know, the Antichrist is coming in, he's taking over, it's a one-world government, or you could look at it conspiracy-wise, it's the Illuminati been doing this for years, and they're going to finally take over. Or you could just look at it as the government knows that they screwed up and all hell's fixing to break loose, and so they're putting their pawns in place trying to hold continuity of government by ensuring that when we find out what they screwed up, that we're going to get all radical and everything, and the fight's on. So they need their monkey men in the suits around there in place before, you know, all heck breaks loose. So no matter how you look at it, looking down the road from where we're standing...
you know, but the thing of it is, they've got this fear, and that's probably a good thing. The government should fear its population, but I think when the rubber hits the road, I think the government is going to be so dysfunctional that nobody's even going to have to worry about it. They're just going to have to come in and take over.
Oh, I agree.
Fresh. I mean, they can't fight their way out of a wet paper sack. I mean, when the whole thing starts coming in, it's just gonna, the chain of command's gonna break down, and it's gonna be done.
Well, the mail carriers are part of the government, right? The U.S. mail.
Well, they're actually a private entity. They're protected by the government, but they're a private corporation, just like the United States is actually a private corporation. It's no longer a republic. In 1933, when we were taken off the gold standard and the Federal Reserve was created, so was the United States of America incorporated. So, you know, this has been a long time coming.
Well, yeah, but what my point was that the government's got their hands in everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, all the way down to the mailman. I mean, they got their hands in everything. And so when you get people used to a lot of money as far as getting paid-wise, and then they don't really want to do their job, they'll drive down the road and throw the mail off in the ditch, and, hey, I did my job, you know. So, have you heard any stories about that happening?
Well, no, I haven't heard stories about that. I might have a little bit of background noise. I think the heater vent's blowing a little hard, but yeah. There was a video on the news just the other day about some mail carrier driving up on somebody's lawn, getting out of the walk, basically stepping out the door and throwing the packages on the front porch and then backing off their lawn.
Because they're too lazy to get out and walk up to the door.
Yeah, pretty much. Too lazy to walk 30 feet up to the door. They just drove up on their lawn, threw the packages off. So, I mean, just threw them on the front porch, got them in the little mail truck and backed out.
Well, you know, that's quality of service for you, brother. Hey, here's your mail. Oh, man, I know it sounds funny, but come on, man. Look, if you step back and look at the big picture, I ain't seen one doggone thing that the government's ever done, you know, with quality. You go stand at the line at the license bureau, man. It seems like you could stand there for days. I think I see like old skeletons with cobwebs on them in the corner over there. You know, they're waiting in line. They got to get their driver's license renewed.
Yeah. Here in Utah, we don't really. At least at our DMV, it doesn't seem to be that bad of a deal. It's, you know, you walk in, you take your test, and they take a picture and laminate it and hand you a license, and out the door you go. It seems pretty easy here, but I've heard of, like, the California DMV. Yeah, you basically pack a lunch and a dinner.
Yeah, and a sleeping bag or something. Don't bring your kids to the license bureau, man, because the kids get bored easy, and they'll create a heck of a ruckus.
No doubt.
But, you know, it's just common sense, man. Nobody does it better than we, the people. So why in the heck aren't we, the people, just doing it? I mean, we're doing it. We're getting on the radio, and we're at least talking about this stuff and trying to get a dialogue opened up. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. And so, you know, we can find solutions. But the solutions that I've found, every single one that I've found that can be done, can only be done by us. What do you think?
Well, they're trying to make a nanny state. That's what they're really trying to do. They're trying to make everybody dependent on government. They want you to think that you can't survive without the federal government in your life. And you see that happening right now with the shutdown, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't really affect me, and it doesn't really affect a lot of people except for that 800,000 people that work for the government that aren't getting paid right now. But they're doing things like, you know, shutting down these national parks. They're actually paying money to shutting down these open-air parks because, you know, they want to put the hurt on people. They want, you know, people going out for vacation that have their vacation planned. They want to put the hurt on them. They want to make them suffer. And the last time the government shut down, they didn't shut down the parks, these open air parks. They left them open.
Yeah, they were even threatening to arrest veterans for going to the memorial, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
But on that whole nanny state thing, you know, there's been a lot of reports coming out from reporters talking about how when they're up there talking to senators and congressmen, they smell liquor on their breath. So the nanny, who's supposed to be watching all over the little children of the America, they're liquored up, man.
You know, I think I would drink too if I had to be in that situation, because a lot of this congressmen and senators know that this is a train wreck. I mean, just think, if this happens on your watch, if this whole thing boils down and implodes on your watch, I would drink heavily.
Oh yeah, they're probably down behind the dumpster firing up one, you know.
Anything to take away the pain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh man, you know, you gotta laugh in the face of adversity, because this stuff will get you down if you really sit there and get absorbed into it. I mean, you know, I've been watching the government for so long, seeing all the crazy stuff, and if you go by the conspiracy theorists, they say that these folks are so patient that they can, you know, wait years and years to see a plan finally go through, and sometimes they might not even be alive when it goes through. It might be their next kin or whatever, their next generation that will finish out the plan. And so with that said, incrementally pushing this plan forward to the one world government or whatever, if you stand there and look at it, it looks like it's actually happening, you know. I mean, you don't have to be a tinfoiler or to believe that something ain't right with the whole system. I mean, it looks like that everything that the conspiracy guys were talking about is coming to pass. You know, they were yelling back in 98 about Nazi stormtrooper looking style police roaming the countrysides and abusing the folks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's here. We're seeing it. And, you know, even when it comes down to, like, the if you want to look at it on a religious standpoint of view, the mark of the beast or whatever, you know, there's so many different ways by which to track people via biometrics. Or I was up in St. Louis a while back, and can't remember what I was up there for, but I was up there, and I watched these folks coming in to get their new CDL driver's license, and they have this hand scanner where you put your hand on the scanner and it literally takes an entire print of your hand, all your fingerprints, all in one shot. That's kind of creepy, man.
Sure. It's really creepy. And considering that they save all this data that you're doing anyway, it's not cool. It's a, you know, it's like a real invasive privacy thing, and they tell you that it's for your safety. It's for the safety of you and your children, you know? Well, you know, people that trade up their liberty for safety deserve neither.
Yeah.
And it's an overused statement, but for God's sakes, people, listen. It's the truth.
I mean, it's there. It's right there in your face. I mean, you drive down the road. I mean, we see them all over here, but I know that in places overseas in Europe, there's cameras out of every doggone corner, man. I mean, don't that creep some people out, knowing that when you walk out your front door, that from the time you step out your front door, that somebody's eyeballing you, you know? I mean, you could be the
most...
Well,
yeah, they don't like it. In fact, some people go out there and they spray can the cameras, you know, with paint and vandalize them, or they'll take an old tire, cut it in half, and throw it out the or put it around the light pole that has the camera and set it on fire, and it burns the cameras up.
Well, I can't say as I blame them, because, you know, it's like this, you know, if. You know, and here's another thing. I find this personally. Have you ever been in the store, and you know you're an honest guy? You know you're not going to steal nothing, but you know that you got to keep your hands in plain view at all times, because somebody could to mistake something as simple as you scratching your butt to you know, you sticking something in your pocket kind of thing, you know? You see what I'm coming from? It makes you feel... You know,
I never really worry about that. In fact, I may even try to make it look like I did steal something just so that they can stop me at the front door and go, I don't have nothing, fools.
Yeah, but the fact that you even had to even think about that you're going to walk through the store and somebody going to try to accuse you of doing something you didn't do, it's... Somebody's behind those cameras and they're watching every move you make throughout the entire store, you know. You finally get to the point where you just kind of ignore it and it's off in the background. You know people's watching you and you may act a fool in the store with your wife or whatever. And you don't really think about it anymore. But you become desensitized to the fact that you're being spied on. And so, you know,
this is true. This is very true. But, In the same respect, a lot of businesses know nowadays. They know. It used to be like, you know, we'd get a lot of shrinkage, and they'd figure it was, you know, shoplifters and stuff like that. But most of the shrinkage that seems to be happening in these stores is actually by their employees out the back door.
Yes, an inside job.
It's an inside job. Not too many people, you know, with those little magnetic thingies that they got at the door. That pretty much stops most of your shoplifting. But the big heavy losses are going out the back door. Somebody working in the back room, they got a buddy that comes over at a certain time, they kick the door open, they shove out a big screen TV, and nobody's the wiser.
Yeah, and dude comes walking up with a trench coat and rolls his sleeve up. Hey, man, you want to buy a watch?
Finest quality.
Yeah, it's a Rolex.
Yeah, it's a Rolex.
Made in Shanghai, Korea. But you know, I just, to me, it's kind of weird that we live in a society these days. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you could walk around and you were on your honor, you know, unless you did something wrong and somebody caught you, wasn't no big deal. You could enjoy life, and as time has progressed and I've gotten older, I've watched all this thing come in incrementally. You know, they stop light cameras where they said, oh, we're not putting these here to write tickets. We're just putting them here to for public safety so we can record accidents and it'll help you on your insurance and all that if you ever get in a wreck. We got the film and all that kind of stuff, you know. And now they're sending people tickets and mails and in the mail and stuff. So if the government says they ain't going to do something, chances are they are going to do it. And if they say they are going to do it, chances are they're not. I mean,
sure.
It seems like things are a little bit backwards to me.
Sure. Well, you know, and take this little this healthcare thing, this healthcare.gov. You know, that website crashes just at the slight sneeze, but the people that finally get through going through there was one guy that posted on their Facebook page. He said that he has a pre-existing condition of type 1 diabetes. He makes $53,000 a year, and basically he went through the program to get signed up on the Obamacare. Well, they told him, you know, it was going to be like $520 a month for his premium.
Holy crap!
Here's the catcher, and it's a $14,000
deductible,
a $14,000 deductible.
He'd be better off not having insurance.
Well, no. Now that he's gone through this thing and told them all their information, that they want to know his bank accounts and all of this stuff, so now that they got their finger on him, he decided, well, I think I'll just opt out. Well, it comes out to like a $4,600 a year fine for his for him opting out, and between the insurance premium and him opting out is like $20 a month difference between the two. So
no matter what, they're going to get.
And of course, that's kind of a nightmare. Apparently, there are some people that. Can get some benefits out of the system, but you know, you still got the heavy-ended deductible on there, and it's just another way to shake money out of your pocket.
You know, here's the thing that bothers me the most about it. It's like if I went to, let's say you had a store, and I come walking through the door, and immediately you got thugs on each side of the door who's shaking me down, and then you walk up and you follow me around the store with a gun to my face saying, buy my product, you know? That's what it seems like to me.
Well, then, you know, and then there's this thing that I've been kind of checking into, and I haven't fully researched it out, but basically, it goes back to the whole the United States of America being a corporation, and underneath the corporate laws, a corporation really can't deal with an individual. So then they decided to make the birth certificates, which is what they call legal fiction. And they use that as collateral over your lifetime.
I heard a while back, it's been quite some time back, but I heard that they were trading these birth certificates on the stock market, and there was actually a number on the back of the birth certificate. So I did. I went to the, I think it was the NASDAQ or one of the trading places, and I run those numbers through just to see if that was the case, you know. And I came up with some military industrial deal. It was, I can't remember what it was. It was like an ammunition deal for the military. And I'm like, dude, if this is true, then these guys essentially own my slave papers.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the theory behind it is that it's your birth certificate is a financial instrument, and they can use it as a basically against the national debt, because you're going to make so much over your lifetime, and your earning capacity is worth so much. But these people are figuring out that using the old maritime laws, basically international law, they're figuring a way to get out of the system so that you don't have to keep paying these thugs every time they come around and shake you down.
Yeah, but the problem about that is that the average Joe doesn't know enough about the law, or even when you go to court, even what to say and what not to say, because the simple words get you hung, you know? If you don't have the right terminology, if you don't understand the word understand or things like that, you can get shafted in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing of it is that a lot of people don't know that that when they go to court, there's a difference between codes and law, and they try to get you to enter a plea. You know, you go in there, how do you plead? Well, if you don't plea, the judge has to enter a plea for you. And the judge has to enter a not guilty plea.
Man.
And this is where you say, well, Your Honor, are you making a judgment, or are you practicing law from the bench, which is illegal?
See,
and the judge, basically, when he says that you're not guilty, the case is dismissed. It's over.
What somebody needs to do is to literally write a handbook. I mean, like, you know, they got computers for dummies. Going to court for dummies. Somebody needs to write a book, going to court for dummies. I'd buy it. I mean, just to look at the little simple things of what not to say. Like, first it tells you in the book, the very first thing you don't do is talk to the cops.
Yeah, very first thing, they're not your friends. The cop is not your friend. Anything you say can and will be used against you, even if anything you say to them, you know, it's...
I mean, the Supreme...
Definite. It's like, nope, I don't have anything to say.
The Supreme
am I
Court,
under arrest, or am I free to go?
The Supreme Court says that they can lie to you. They can lie to you to get evidence. They can hide behind a bush, and they can come out and they can tell you a bold-faced lie. And whatever you say that they said in court is hearsay, but whatever they say that you said in court is evidence. So
That's exactly right.
It's stacked against you from the get-go. And so, you know, with that said, And what we were talking about earlier about how I feel like I'm standing in the waiting room and like World War III or whatever, some doomsday scenario is supposed to be on the way, and they keep moving the date up. You know, the military had this funny phrase that I used to hear all the time that says, hurry up and wait. I remember the first time I heard that, you know. You got to hurry up to get there, and then when you get there, you got to wait. So you hurry up and wait. But when they want something, they want it now. And if you ain't got it now, then the jackbooted thugs come rolling on up in there to take you over. Hey, you know, we got a warrant, you know. Really.
Well, and that's another thing, too. Like, you know, if they suspect you of doing something, and they may not suspect you, they may just start coming out to people's houses and do what they do, they call it a rap and tap, or a tap and rap, or a knock and talk.
Yeah.
And basically, once they get into your house,
they don't need a warrant.
The game's all over. They don't need a warrant. So that's when you look out the window and you say, what do you need? Well, they want to come in and talk to you. It's like, no. If you gotta get a warrant, kick my door down, and then we'll talk. Otherwise, you can do it through the window here.
Yeah,
or here's my cell phone and call me, because these guys, you know, they kick in the door, and if they don't like the way you act, or maybe you're a little bit surly with them, or something like that, they pull out a taser and they zap you in your house.
I remember.
Or even worse, they'll go, you know, they'll pull out their gun and shoot you, and they get away with it all the time, scot free.
I remember one time I got pulled over by the law man out there on the road one day, and it was for something as stupid as a doggone, my tag light was out. Now, these tag license plates that they make, they're reflectives, and so once a light hits them, you could read them no matter what, whether the light bulb's out or not. But they used it for a technicality, why to pull me over. And so, you know, it's already the frustration of you being pulled over. And then there's a financial issue that, you know, you only got so much cash to live through the month. And so you know that if they write you a citation or ticket, whatever you want to call it, that it's going to eat into that money. And so your nerves are already shot, you know. Plus, you never know who this guy is that's come walking up there that's got a gun on his side, and he's badge heavy, and his head's about as wide as a Goodyear blimp. And, you know, he's got his chest all poked out, you know, God, driver's license, proof of insurance, and all that kind of stuff, you know, and why'd you stop me, and we'll get to that in a second, and all this kind of jazz, you know, and they pretty much intimidate the average Joe until you realize that they're just, you know, some, you know, guy behind a uniform. But either way, my nerves were shot, you know. My hand's a little shaky because I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm trying to get my driver's license and everything out and hand it to them, because I didn't want to be in that position to begin with. I try to avoid the law, you know, not that I got anything to hide, but I don't want to be around them, period, because I don't trust them. The guy's all looking at me like I'm all guilty of something. Why are you so nervous? And I said, well, let me think about it here for a second. You just stopped me. You haven't told me why yet. And then he said, well, I stopped you because your tag light was out. And then I was really pissed off and trying to contain myself. You know, I'm trying to hold back the frustration of, you seriously just impeded my travel for a doggone light bulb? Really? So
yeah.
I'm trying to keep from saying what it is that I want to say, because I know that, you know, the more I intimidate this jerk, the more he's going to try to hassle me and pull something dirty. And so I'm just trying to get through it as fast as possible. If you're going to write me a ticket, write me a ticket. Let me on down the road and we'll deal with it later, kind of thing. So, you know, that's the kind of relationship that the average Joe has with the lawman nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's sickening, you know. You can't even drive to the beach without having to worry about looking over your shoulder whether or not there's some thug in a police car going to pull you over for something ignorant and, you know, check your papers, and you just want to go about your business and be left alone. But You got cameras in your face. You got cameras behind you. You got the lawman scoping you out. You can't even walk in the store without keeping your hands out there where everybody can see them, because if you scratch your butt or, like, I reach in my pocket and I'll get my cell phone out, okay? And I do that, like, I'll aim myself right towards the camera so they can see me pull my cell phone out. I'm on the cell phone. And then whenever I get ready to put it back, sometimes I won't put it back because about the only thing that they're going to see is the time that my hand goes down my shirt and put it in my pocket, see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what'd you just steal? I didn't steal nothing, you jackass. I done put my phone in my pocket. Go look at your video and shut up.
What did you just steal?
Yeah. That's what society has come to. And so here we are. We're on the internet and we're being tracked on the internet. Some companies out there are tracking us. There's a lot of companies out there tracking us to see what it is that we're interested in, shopping wise. And then your email gets flooded with all these offers, you know. And it even gets flooded with offers of you won the lottery and there's somebody got the you inherited some money and you got to send some money in so they can process it and all that kind of stuff. Somebody's out there continuously trying to rip you off in some way. Other folks are out there trying to steal your identity while you got the government behind the scenes, and all they can do is try to track you to see who you are, see if you're a terrorist, listen to what you say. I mean, they got computers that will listen for keywords like bomb or terrorist or drugs and all that kind of stuff. So while I'm saying that, I'm hitting all these red flags on this computer. Now they're zooming in on us. Hi, guys. How you doing? FBI, CIA, NSA, TSA, DEA, and, you know, hope y'all having some coffee.
Yeah, whatever else it might be.
So you can't even get online and talk to your pals across the planet, you know, because if you do and one of you guys say something crazy, you know, about a bomb, suddenly, bomb, you know, and they're, oh, wait a second, he's talking about bombs, we gotta watch this guy.
Yeah, he's terrible, he's evil. Then again, he could be talking about fireworks for the 4th of July.
Yeah, the same fireworks.
For Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year's coming up, you could be talking about those kind of bombs.
Yeah, the same fireworks that supposedly drop all the birds out of the sky, you know. It ain't got nothing to do with no chemicals being sprayed. It's just, fireworks. Yeah, fireworks did it. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
It's ludicrous. When you sit back and actually think about everything that's going on, it's ludicrous. You can't even surf the damn internet and do research without somebody trying to either sell you something or spy on you. You can't walk down the road without a camera in your face. And if you point a camera towards a cop, suddenly you just committed a crime. I mean, he's supposed to be a public servant.
That depends on which state you're in. I don't know which state you're in. Some states you can't do that. In a lot of states you can. And it's kind of a shame because they don't want to be video recorded. They don't want them people watching them beat up on people or tase people or getting any evidence that could be That would make them look bad, you know?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Since we the people have cameras shoved in our faces all day, and the media can come running up. If you get accused of something, doesn't matter whether you did it or not. The media comes running up. They stick the camera in your face. By the time they get through running that story, everybody out there automatically believes that you're guilty. They don't even know the facts. It may just have been some jerk said, "Hey, yeah, that dude over there, I saw him. He stole that goat, you know, and went behind the barn and got lucky or something like that, you know." And so everybody thinks that you're a goat lover, you know, and you didn't do nothing. You were just an innocent bystander standing by. But that's the kind of society crap that we got to contend with on a daily basis. You're guilty until proven innocent, according to our Constitution. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But try that in a court of law. You can't do it. As soon as you go in there, you got to prove everything. And the judge tells you right out of the gate, well, I think you need an attorney. Really? You got the wallet that you can back my attorney up? Because I don't.
Well, that one will be appointed to you.
From
the court. You'll get a public pretender in that case.
You know how much a jury trial cost?
I I don't know, do they charge you for the jury
trial? Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. If you go to a civil court...
That's not right.
You go to a civil court, it's $500 minimum. If you go to a criminal court, it's $1,000 minimum. They make you pay for your jury trial.
And no, that's not the way the law is.
Well, that's the way they do it.
Well, they'd like to, but nobody's ever called them on it, apparently, because that is part of your constitutional right, is a jury by trial of your peers. It says that right in. It doesn't say that you're going to be burdened with the cost of the trial of your peers. You are provided that. That's one of your basic rights in the Constitution.
When I was younger, I got mugged by the security guards down at the hospital while I was waiting for my son to get done had his checkup and all that kind of stuff. I had these little combs, and they looked like butterfly knives, right? They little toy combs. You ever seen them? Remember they used to have a comb that looked like a switchblade knife?
Anyway, no, I don't know.
Well, anyway, they're like novelty items. You can get these combs that look like knives, you know, and there's one that's butterfly knife. You know, you can flip it around and all that kind of stuff, just like a regular butterfly knife. And I'm sitting next to
like a hair comb.
Yeah, a hair comb. You comb your hair with it. But it looks like a knife. Of course, it doesn't look like a shiny blade real knife. You can obviously see that it's a comb. All right, and I'm sitting next to a police lady, and I'm sitting there talking to her about these combs, you know, and I'm showing her how to whip them around, you know. And so she wasn't even intimidated. Everybody else in the entire lobby knew that they were combs. And I even combed my hair with them, you know, to make sure everybody knew they were combs. And when the security dude got up there, hey, man, I flexed it. It's a comb, you know, I combed my hair with it. But when they decided they were going to mug me, they was all hollering, drop the knife, you know, like everybody's going to think I got a knife or something. But everybody in there is looking at them like they're stupid because they knew they were damn combs, and so did the security dude. They knew they were combs. Anyway, they, about 6 or 7 of them carried me in the back room, dropped me on my head, and I got handcuffs behind me, you know. And then when I go to set up, one of them comes over and bonks me with the doggone nightstick. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to remember you because I'm going to sue you into oblivion for that. And so either way, it all went through the whole process. The head of the hospital came down there, and I told him the story, and I told him I fully intend on suing it. At first, they're all like, you're going to go to jail. You're going to jail, you know. And then the guy comes down there, and he asked me what happened. I told him in graphic detail what happened, and I fully intend on suing. And then the next thing you know, the cops are coming back, and they're saying, well, if you sign this paper, we'll let you go on your own recognizances or whatever. And so, you know, suddenly I went from going to jail that I'm signing myself out, you know, with a signature bond. And so I leave, and then I go to find an attorney and all that kind of stuff. And it gets down to where we got to go beat this case in court, right? Well, then I found out it cost me $500 just for a jury trial. And when you're accused of something, you're actually supposed to have your accuser right there in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy was on vacation. He didn't have to show up. So the guy who was actually accusing me of committing a crime, such as trespassing and assaulting an officer, which I'm the one that had the goose eggs on me, he didn't even have to show up at court. And so the judge, when we finally got through to the trial, and my attorney was the worst attorney in the world. I mean, this guy, the prosecuting attorney, just beat the heck out of him. You know, he didn't say nothing. He wasn't like you see on TV, I object or anything like that. He just kind of sat back and went with flow and all that kind of stuff. And before it's all said and done, judge looks at me and he says, I find you not guilty for trespassing, but I'm charging you $25 for assaulting a security officer. No jail time, no nothing. They had to find me guilty on something. Otherwise, I would have had a lawsuit against them. But it was flat out ridiculous. The whole system, I mean, I was supposed to get a jury of my peers.
The thing of it is, when they came in there and they told you, you know, sign this and it will let you go out on your own recognizance, as you say, No, I'm not signing anything.
Well, see, I didn't know
that. I'm
not
guilty of anything. So if you think I need to go to jail, well, then let's get to it.
Yeah, take me on down to the Who's
Cow. That's just one more thing I can charge you with.
The clink, the Who's Cow, the pokey.
The bar motel.
Yeah.
Three hots and a cup.
But, you know, we laugh about this kind of stuff now, but back then I had no idea that I even had anything past what rights that I was, told, via the Constitution. I mean, but the system, it ain't set up to protect you, so you damn sure better not be talking to the cops and trying to tell them, make buddies with them, because right out of the gate, everything that they say and do right there in front of you, as soon as they stop you and they start talking to you, it's an investigation. They're looking for evidence.
Yeah, that's why I say, the first thing you do is you say, am I under arrest or am I free to go? And if they say, you're under arrest, shut your hole.
Yep.
I don't care if you're trying to sweet talk them, doesn't matter. Anything that you say can be construed and used against you. You can just use slight different word or something, and instead of if, and they will use it against you. So that's when, if you're under arrest, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't say anything, and if they take you to jail, fine. Post bail, it's not that bad. Maybe you got to wear the funny pink pajamas.
Yeah.
You'll get out.
And if
they don't have it, see, this is the thing. A lot of people don't understand is that if you confess, okay, they've got you.
Oh, yeah.
If you talk and they can construe it and work a case against you, they got you. No confession, no case.
And if he says you're free to go, don't even wave goodbye. Don't even look back. Especially don't wave goodbye, because they'll try to say you tried to slap him.
Yeah. Just say, okay. And then head on down the road.
Don't even look back. Keep on going. Oh, man. It's sad that we even got to talk about this thing, but you feel like it's a movie, like old Nazi Germany, your papers, please. But this is not.
It is surreal, dude. But this is the way it is. We live in kind of a police state, and some places are really bad. Like some of the big cities are really, really bad, and some of the out in the country, good old boy clubs are really bad too, but you always got to be on your toes. And that's what you say, am I under arrest or am I free to go?
Oh, yeah, especially in the country, because those country cops, they're not as well versed in the law. Then you're worse off in the country of getting pulled over than you are out in the city, because in the city there's a whole lot of eyes around and people got to be on their toes whenever they're trying to do something dirty. But out in the country, it's kind of a mano-a-mano, one-on-one, out there in the middle of the sticks, and the nearest lawman's 40-some-odd miles, 40-some-odd minutes away, or maybe even 40 miles away. And so if you try to call 911 and say, hey, look, I got this weirdo out here that says he's a cop. I need somebody out here I can verify as a cop,
mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous deal.
Well, there's a lot of, you can go on YouTube and you can see a lot of these people that they go around, they'll like strap a pistol on their side just basically to make a scene someplace, and then they have the cops show up and they'll do that, am I under arrest or am I free to go, because basically they haven't broken any laws, and they'll say, well, we're just asking you some questions. Well, have I broken any laws? What am I being detained for? Why am I being stopped? Well, because you're carrying a pistol. And then he'd say, well, it's my constitutional right to carry a pistol. Well, I know that, but you're making people nervous, and they want to know their name, And he's like, no, I'm not going to tell you my name because I'm, I haven't committed any crime. Well, we would just want to check and see if you got any warrants. So basically, they pull you over, and then they run your name, and they go through there. They're fishing. They're always fishing. And, that's part of their job to create more revenue so they can have job justification, but it's getting way out of hand.
I call them armed revenue generators for the state, because essentially that's what they are. I mean, what you were talking about, the Second Amendment. Now, there's like the Second Amendment says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I mean, it's plain and simple in the basic. Anybody can understand it. The definition of bear arms is like you can have them with you. You know, you can keep them. You can have them. You can have them on you. So all these other laws that come after that are unconstitutional, but yet they're enforced. And some, if you walk in some places, you can open carry. Some places you can't open carry. Some places you can carry them concealed. Some places you can't. But either way, you should be able to carry them no matter what, whether it's concealed or not, open or not, according to that.
Well, it all depends on the local populace. Like, say, for instance, in L.A., if you were to go around open carry in L.A., there's a lot of people that get freaked out because some guy's got a gun. Even though nobody's getting shot, there's nothing happening, but they get really scared. I mean, you know, it's like the assault rifle. They're trying to, you know, ban the assault rifles. And the definition of it is, you know, pretty much all the ones that are black and scary looking.
Yeah, well, speaking of scary looking, it must be a really bad thing going on, because teachers, if they see a little kid chewing his bread in the shape of a gun, suddenly you got to call in the SWAT team, you know? This kid's nuts.
Well, that you know, that's the thing. That this stuff is way, way out of line. If somebody draws a gun on paper, you know, and the zero tolerance policy kicks in, and they have the kid arrested, you know, because he drew a stick figure with a gun or something, and it's...
I mean, what's the kid going to do? Give you a paper cut with that gun that he just drew? Seriously? Is that going to be life-threatening?
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know where they're trying to go with it.
Well, see, we're talking about common sense here, you and I, but on the other hand, whenever you talk about the actual actions of what they're doing, to me, it's like a desensitization kind of thing, to where they're desensitizing the people to not only violence around the world, but they're desensitizing them to having their rights just completely trampled over as if they never even had any. There's a lot of kids who graduate who don't even know the first thing about the Constitution. Sure, they can blurt out the First Amendment and the Second Amendment because they want to be able to wear a T-shirt that says, eat at Joe's, liquor in the front, poker in the rear, kind of nasty stuff. So they want to wear something like that and call it First Amendment free speech, you know. I can say whatever I want, as long as I ain't hurting nobody, kind of thing. You know, common decency would say you don't wear that shirt in certain parts of the population. Definitely don't wear it to church because it don't look good. But, you know, when it comes down to actually watching people's actions, the government's actions, the people, the kids, the youth of the day, they're growing up, they don't even have no idea what a Fourth or Fifth, all the way up to all the different amendments in the Constitution, what they're even there for. I mean, it's like supposedly like the contract between us and whatever government is in there at that given time, things that they're not going to do to us, you know? They're not going to use the military on us or whatever.
Yeah, the posse comitatus kind of thing. But so instead, to get around it, they basically militarize the police. They put these armored personnel carriers out on the streets. What the hell for?
Yeah.
I mean,
so now,
what are you saying? What are you really thinking that you need these tanks out on the street?
A kid's in his own yard with his own cap gun, and he's playing cowboy and Indian in his own yard. Then he gets suspended from school. Now the school's authority just stretched from the government indoctrination center that they call schools these days, all the way out to this own kid's private property, this own kid's yard. You know, that's his land, that's his home. I mean, his mother and father actually owned it, but that, you know, by proxy, you know, it's his mom and dad's land. It's his. So he's on his own private property, playing with his own stuff, and gets suspended from school. So, either the teachers are just flat out stupid and shouldn't be teaching your children, or they're, you know, a part of the whole doggone mess because they ain't making it any better. It's like, I hate homeowners associations, because if you go to a homeowners associations, everybody's house has to be a certain color. Everybody's grass has to be a certain height, you know. And if one person doesn't have it and doesn't comply to the whole scenario, then they got homeowners association fines, you know. You got to get your house in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, the way... See,
the thing it is? Don't buy a house with an HOA or CCRs. Stay away from those places.
Yeah, unless you want to live in a communist society where you can't even put Santa Claus on the front lawn.
I don't even care if there is a pool down by the end of the road. I will never buy a place with an HOA or a CCR. It's just impossible for me to do that because I'm not going to put up with that crap. I'm the kind of guy that will paint my house whatever damn color I want, and if I want to build a shed in the back, I'll build it how I want.
Yeah. You know, they was trying to tell a veteran he couldn't hang his
mouth
flag.
I'm the kind of person that believes my property is the fruit of my labor, and I should be able to do with my property as I see fit. But back to the zero tolerance policy on the guns, you know, you're right. These teachers are, there's something mental. It's not all there. There's something cognitively wrong, and it's going to get worse. It's just your rights. Everything's going to
down the tube. You know, Kent, if this kid is allowed to carry around this gun, somebody could get a yeast infection or something. Or it might turn into mold, you know? I mean, it could be some health hazards there, you know? You can't have a kid wielding around a bread gun. I mean, you could put somebody's eye out or something.
Yeah.
It's just so stupid. It's funny, you know? If my kid come home from school and the teacher had my kid arrested or suspended for having doggone chewed a piece of bread into the shape of a gun, I'd be up there with a loaf of bread sitting at the principal's desk, and I'd be chewing a bunch of them in the shape of a gun, and I'd be saying, now what you gonna do about it, you know? Because it's just so stupid, it doesn't make any sense. Of course, you know, then here comes the cops and the SWAT team. They'll come in there, hey, this guy's got a loaf of bread and he's got tons of guns.
Well, it's retardation. Let's see. Hey, Dub, what are you doing?
Dub, are you there?
Good day, all. How's it going?
Yeah. Hey, you got any bread guns over there?
How's it going? No, it's illegal to own any guns in Europe, don't you know that? We're all disarmed.
Even if they're made out of bread?
Yeah. Even if they're made out of cookies. What you have to understand is the guns issue is only a symptom of the real problem. Once you understand what the real problem is, then you can understand where all this nonsense comes from. And the real problem is the 10 planks of communism. If you look the changeover from a normal society to a communist society, part of the communist agenda is they will bring in no property ownership, no religion, no free speech, zero tolerance, you name it. Now, what they will do is bit by bit, they will ensure that the headmasters of school are chosen because they will follow the communist agenda. The head of the police will be chosen because he will follow the agenda. The government will be chosen because they follow the agenda. And that's why you're seeing all this top-down nonsense in America. In Europe, we've had this top-down nonsense for decades now. I mean, we've had the EU communist-run government telling us that if carrots are not exactly straight, then they're not conforming to the Sales Act of carrots. You know, sometimes you get carrots where they split in two and they're, you know, you got one leg here, one leg there. You're not allowed to sell those because they're not straight carrots.
Man.
Or if tomatoes are not sufficiently round. Now, they do these kind of ridiculous laws because communists can't help but putting in your face something totally ridiculous, like peace is war, war is peace.
Well, the most,
you know what I mean?
Most ridiculous thing that I've heard come out of any congressman or senator's mouth was what Nancy Pelosi said when the health care bill was getting ready to be rammed through. She literally came on TV and she told the entire world, we got to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. Are you serious? You're going to have to pass it?
I mean, it's not the Obamacare bill. It's the Obama No Care bill, the Obama bill, or whatever you want to call it. Sure as hell ain't the Obamacare bill. I mean,
there's
Obamacare care applied to the whole thing. The Obama extermination bill, or whatever you want to call it, but sure as hell has got. I mean, this is what communism does. It will take a word that's got a nice sound to it, you know, nice touchy feely sound, and it'll do the exact bloody opposite.
Oh yeah, and on that brings up a point that I heard here day before yesterday. This guy, he did this interview with all these people, and he was asking them the question. He said, which bill do you support? Do you support Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act? And they all rushed over, oh, I like the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, none of them like the Obama bill or whatever, but they're one and the same. And so that shows the mentality of the people who's actually going out there and voting, and their vote has just as much power as your vote. So with that said, you're up against a lot of knuckleheads, man.
Yeah, but you see, what the Americans don't understand is that the American government is a corporation.
Well, we know it now.
The USA government. Sorry?
I say we know it now. We understand that now, but we didn't understand that then because we was thinking the United States is all the states together, and we come together and we elect our representatives and we go before, you know, Congress and the Senate and pass laws that protect everybody. We didn't ever realize that the United States wasn't even part of Washington, D.C. wasn't even part of the United States, that it was its own entity in the District of Columbia, and so it was a corporate entity all along. We had no idea.
Yeah, those guys are basically...
Yeah, but unfortunately, you guys might know, but if you stop the average American on the street and you say, do you know the USA government, Washington, D.C. is a corporation, they'll look at you like you got 10 heads.
Yeah.
But that's the same in Europe. I mean, if I stop the average European and I say, do you know your German government is a corporation or your British government is a corporation or the EU government is a corporation, they'll look at you like you got 10 heads. I mean, I was talking to a highly qualified accountant the other day who's Canadian, lived and worked in Britain for most of his life. He's now retired, and he absolutely refuses to believe that the British government is a corporation, that the Canadian government is a corporation, and that Canada has about as much independence as a subsidiary of Coca-Cola would have from the parent company. You know, like, Canada is a subsidiary company of the British Crown, and effectively the USA is a subsidiary company of the UK Crown. But he refuses to believe it. You know,
well, one of the things,
refuse
them. One of the things that I understand, I say one of the things that I understand about a corporation is a corporation is essentially like an umbrella. So, you know, the man at the top can't be sued personally. Everybody in the entire corporation absorbs the brunt of any lawsuit that comes in there. So the man at the top, he might get a slap on the wrist, but financially it's not even really going to affect him because everyone else has absorbed that that fine or whatever. Is that the way it is, or am I wrong?
It's worse than that. If you were to list off the definition of a psychopath, a corporation fits exactly that bill. A corporation has only one purpose, for profit, at any cost. Think about it logically. If the American prints 10 times more money, there will be you'll need $10 to buy something that used to cost $1. That's called inflation.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah. Well, the other logic to it is if they exterminate 90% of the population, well, then they solve the problem. you mean? All the 10% that are left with all those dollars, and so the dollar has now got some, it retrieves its value. So from the American government point of view, which is the corporation, the USA government, the logic is, if you print 10 times the money, and then when you're finished and you're running into this wall, you exterminate 90% of the population. And therefore, you've equalized it from an accountancy point of view. And that's how dangerous the situation is for, not just for America, because the European government is printing 10 times the money. The British government is printing 10 times the money. Most every government in the world is in a race to the bottom, and they're printing 10 times as much money. And they're all corporations, so the way to settle the books is exterminate 90% of the world population.
Well, you know, when you say exterminate the population, if I was a guy that had no prior knowledge to anything that we've been talking about here, and I just kind of walked up on the scene, and I heard you talking about how the governments of the world want to exterminate 90% of the population, I would think that you were crazy. I would, like, the government wouldn't do that. You know, why would they kill off all the people? But even if you look at it from a common sense point of view, if they ain't intentionally doing it, they're definitely doing it because, I mean, look, they're bombing this place over there, they're bombing that place over there, and by the regulations that they put in that will keep a medicine from coming from Canada that could save somebody from dying of some disease or whatever, or, you know, all the different alternative medicines that could possibly help somebody out, being regulated out by the Food and Drug Administration, or the fact that in a lot of the cities they put in fluoride and chlorine and God knows what else into the water to feed to the people, and the things that they're allowing big corporations to do, such as Monsanto, you know, doing genetically modifying nature's food and all that kind of stuff. So by proxy, if you stand back and look at the big picture, it looks to me like they're really trying to kill off the population. Otherwise, you know, there's only two explanations here. They're either doing it on purpose, or they're just so stupid that they're doing it, you know? Am I wrong?
Well, you see, what you have to understand is the average Joe who works in the FBI or the CIA or the American government has no notion of this. I mean, he could be working at very high levels. He'll have no notion. And it might even go right up to senators and Congress people. Most of them won't have an iota of this policy. It's an exclusive group of very high-up people, the Rockefellers and the Bush family and all the rest. They're telling the government what to do and how to do it. And very often they don't know why they're being told, introduce GMOs into the food chain, introduce mercury into the vaccines. You know, they just follow orders.
Well, I understand that, and you understand that.
Compartmentalized.
And I understand that, and you understand that, and Kent understands that, and most of the folks that we talk to on these radio networks understand that. But the average Joe, we go all the way back to what I was originally talking about when we first started this deal, like sitting in the waiting room waiting for the apocalypse. The average Joe walks down the road, and they see that camera, and they can sit there and justify it to whoever else is standing around talking about the camera. Oh, well, that's there for your safety, you know. Not knowing the difference between Obamacare and the Affordable Health Care Act is the average mentality of the average Joe out there. And so, with that said, the folks that are awake and the folks that are actually paying attention to what's going on in government and everything out there, we got our work cut out for us, you know? We can't just go out there and say, hey, you know, wake up, stupid, look what's going on. They're trying to kill off 90% of the population and this and that, because now they look at you like you're a nutcase. And unfortunately for us, the sheep, or whatever you want to call them, the average Joe, the person living in the little bubble that's going around the world and happy-go-lucky tiptoeing through the tulips, so to speak, they ain't got a clue, and they outnumber us.
Yeah, but we're lucky that there apparently is a phenomenon where apparently you don't need more than 10% to change anything.
Well, I think
so
we're doing
10%. What?
I think we're doing a good job because you're starting to hear more of you know, government's backing down from crazy stuff. Did we lose him there, Kent?
I think we're he's probably gonna be back in a second.
Yeah, he's in Spain, so he drops in and out once in a while. But you see where I'm coming from there?
Oh yeah, yeah, I see what you're coming from, and you know that there. There has been a lot of talk about depopulation. And perhaps, you know, perhaps a lot of it is going on. You know, I mean, every so often we have these big wars that wipe out a lot of the population. They may be cooking that direction.
Well, you know, you can't... When you're actually looking at life from outside the box and looking inside, you can't disregard possibilities, because you know, is there a possibility aliens exist? Yeah, it's possible. I mean, scientifically it's plausible with all the stars in the sky and all that kind of stuff, that we're not the only ones in the world or in the universe or whatever. But until the actual evidence is on the table, irrefutable, you got to at least look at the evidence before you to see whether or not you believe or don't believe. So, you know, with all that said, the average Joe is too wrapped up in the average Joe's life and doesn't even pay attention to things like that. And so if somebody comes along and says, you know, they saw a UFO, then they'll tell their friend, hey, such and such saw a UFO. Hey, you know, aliens must exist. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I think life in the universe is probably the norm, not the exception. It's just too big of a universe to not have more life out there, but that starts to get into an existential, you know, conversation.
Yeah, but either way, all these things that we're talking about, it boils down to common sense. I mean, I'm sitting here, and you mentioned the word psyops whenever I was talking about, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm in a waiting room waiting around for World War III or the Doomsday, and I'm always got to keep on my toes, and I got to keep up what's going on. Because, you know, I actually give a damn. I mean, if I didn't care, I wouldn't even be on the radio right now. But I do care because I got grandchildren and I want them to grow up in a decent world. And unless I know what these dudes are, these knuckleheads out there are up to, you know, hey, we got Michael in here too. Cool. So, no matter what, I got to keep my eye out to see what's going on. But in my own personal life, in my own personal circle, and in my own personal town, I'm not seeing all the things that are going on around the world. So maybe I just don't get out far enough to actually see the death and destruction in the world. But I'm still waiting around. Doomsday ain't here yet, you know. Maybe it's on the way. But how do I know by what? The information, because they ain't got a very good track record when they start telling you crap on TV, and the alternative media ain't got a very good track record either, because every time they point out, you know, here's a Planet X is coming around to blast us, and this is the date that it should be here, you'll be able to see it
well,
in the sky.
That's not really alternative media. That's more like fringe occultism, I think, on some of those things like Planet X and Nibiru and the Anunnaki and things like that. That's getting way out there. But I think the thing of it is that, you know, you're sitting there and, like you're saying, waiting in the waiting room, waiting for the ball to drop, waiting, having to watch this and watch that and come to your own conclusions. It's exhausting.
It is.
I do it myself, and it is exhausting because there's so much noise level that how do you pick out what is fact and what is just crap?
You know, I was watching TV, and I'm telling you, try this sometime, and you're going to find out. It's reality. You go walk around, and you search on something on the internet or whatever, and then go sit down in front of your television set and start watching the commercials come on TV. I almost felt like that guy in that movie who he went through his whole life and he was the show, you know. They were all, I can't remember who what the guy's name is. He played in a lot of funny movies.
Truman, wasn't the movie
Truman? Yeah, that's it. But I feel like that guy sometimes, because whenever I surf the internet, if I'm looking for certain subjects or whatever, suddenly it's being advertised on my digital TV, you know, or I get an email that is regarding the same subject. Now, you could pass it off as coincidence, I guess, if it happens once or twice or maybe even 10 or 15 times a day, but, you know, all day and every day. It's just, you know, it gets to be, I'm not paranoid, but I'm sitting there watching this stuff, and I look at my wife, and I said, now, weren't we just talking about that? And there it is, bam, right there on TV, you know?
No, so, you're not paranoid. That most modern televisions have a microphone built in America, and they're listening for keywords, and they send the keywords back to the base, usually through cable TV. And so, if you say the word sex, then you'll be amazed how frequently advertisements for the word sex will pop up. And if you say the word car, you'll be amazed how much advertisements pop up for the word car.
Well, isn't that kind of creepy? Ain't that kind of creepy?
Every machine now in America... No, every machine, the washing machine, the toaster, the television, has got built-in communications now in America. Not in Europe yet, but they're working on it.
My wife got GPS on her phone, and we were messing around with GPS, and we were going to go to the restaurant. We were going to go to a Chinese restaurant. And so we're following these GPS directions. Sometimes they're accurate and sometimes they're not, depending on which service you actually go through. But the one particular service she was using, it brings you down to right to the front door. I mean, it tells you almost down to the inch where you are on the planet. Now, you subscribe to these services and don't read the terms of services, you know, they can tell you, okay, well, on this date you went to this restaurant and this is what you had because we read your credit card receipts, and so we know that you like, you know, spicy food or whatever. But so what we're talking about?
Well, that's what they're building up as a matrix. You know, all those special deals that you get when you sign up, when you go down to Walmart and you get those special discount cards and vouchers and you know, the shop card, and you know, they all say to you in the shop, have you got your card, and they swipe your card and then you get so many points and all that. But that's recording everything, your and then it all goes into a vast database, so they're able to predict pretty well 90% of what most Americans are going to do tomorrow or next week or next month, based on all the data they get from every source, their health company, their driving license, their, you know, their insurance, their shopping habits, what part of town they live in, all that kind of stuff goes into a vast database. And then with using what's called predictive programming
algorithms,
predict, you know, with fairly good accuracy what you will do next week or next month or next year and what you'll do in an emergency and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's kind of creepy. Hey, Michael, how you doing there, brother?
I'm doing well, Shaziz. I was listening to your conversation there, and I was fascinated with what you guys were talking about.
It's amazing.
A couple of the things that really kind of struck my interest is essentially the great death wish that those elites have over us all. And I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds paranoid and ridiculous, but if you guys take the time to do the research into the history of the Khazar Empire or the Khazarians, if you look up essentially what these people are, they're Kabbalistic, basically Satanists, and they're the elite of the world. And how you doing, Kent? How you doing, Dublin? And what they did is they came out with they didn't come out with a document. They've had a plan in existence for centuries. and it's known as the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Yeah,
if you guys
I've heard
aren't
about
familiar
that.
With this, you have to read it. You must read this. This is the blueprint for their global domination, and it's been out since the late 19th century. In 1897, it was distributed, and then I think in 1901, it was published. Now, the person that actually originally got this document, these protocols, these plans for global domination, the guy that originally had it, he shared it with his friends. He didn't even mean for it or intend for it to be published, but someone else took it and published it. Now, if you were in possession of this document in Russia where it was first published, I'm pretty sure it was Russia, you'd be shot on sight if they knew that you had it in your possession. That's how dangerous this thing is.
Well, you know,
I recommend that everyone take a look at it. It really does get into a detailed look at how they...
What's it called again?
It's called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. You can find a PDF online, Kent.
Yeah, and it's really creepy to read, too, man.
It's spooky as hell, man. Every aspect of the control centers, the press, the media of communications, attacking any authority, the control of the government, re-education. So it's like entertainment, everything that we've always been saying about how the elites have control over the power centers, once again, real quickly, education, entertainment, media of communication, politics, commerce, the economy, everything. These guys, it's just an all-encompassing system of control, and the plan that they have for us all is ultimately death. It's actually quoted in there.
Let's see if we can.
When I say death, I'm talking about anyone that's non-Khazarian.
Well,
okay,
that means
everyone that's in this conversation here, as far as I know.
I have to agree with you, but
there's the YouTube of that. You can get a YouTube, and it goes through it. It's quite long. It's about 2 hours long, and
it goes through
every point of the.
I highly recommend it's worth careful study, Dublin.
Let's put on the table some things here. All right. To your average Joe, we're like nutcases. All right, but let's put on the table some things here. First off, when you look at the police, they look like Nazi stormtroopers. When you look out in society, there's a camera in every direction. You have to have a license for everything under the sun. You have to be regulated. There are multiple different things that shouldn't be in water that's in water. There's all kinds of regulations on farmers of what they can and can't do with the foods and the crops that they make. There's all kinds of corporations out there got their hands in everything under the sun. So there's just a few examples of what we're talking about there that I just put on the table as evidence, Exhibit A and B and C and D. What other kind of things did I miss there, Michael?
Oh, you did a great job of illustrating that, and I think that's a great description to use that. There's plenty of things out there that you can look at, and you can just, if you take the time to look, you can, in hindsight, see how this is completely reasonable.
Yeah.
It's completely reasonable. All you have to do is just step back and look at human nature. And above all else, man desires power. And for these people, it's like money is just a means of that ultimate end. It's just a tool to get there. Okay? It's an instrument of their control. And so is everything else. So what they're about is the maintenance and acquisition of more power in the world. That's what they're all about. The thing, this is the thing. They worship the prince of this world. Okay, now this really gets into spiritual warfare, because that's really what this is all about, folks. We are in a spiritual war. That's what this world is, a battlefield. It's a battleground. We're in a combat. That's what life is.
And if somebody disagrees with that, whether you're an atheist or not, step back and look at the big picture. Go watch the movie Zeitgeist. All right? Now, that's a prime example. The Zeitgeist will sit there and it will basically explain to you how every religion under the sun is a bad thing, and it was copied from this one, which was copied from that one, which was copied from that one, and so on down the line. But there's somebody's point of view being put out there on the table, somebody's research being put out there on the table to convince you one way or another whether to believe or to not, or whatever.
That's fortunately, Shaz, is they have a debunking Zeitgeist, especially in the religious section.
Well, yeah, they do.
Yeah, there are some good things in Zeitgeist. I agree.
But is that
there are some horribly erroneous?
Well, I know, but isn't that
mistakes in Zeitgeist?
Isn't that not an example of the fact that
example of trying to destroy and erode any kind of belief in the authority of that comes from within a religion, okay?
Yeah, so there is a spiritual war.
I mean, if you want to talk about Zeitgeist as being a tool of the Khazarians, absolutely, no doubt in my mind, Shaziz.
That's just one of many examples
out
there.
And they have infiltrated the alternative media, and they're continually doing it because they recognize, finally they recognize, hey, this is a danger here. We don't really have control over, years and years ago, there was only very limited sources of information. It was newsprint, or it was TV or radio. And they had that all wrapped up nice in a nice little bag. They had the people that were in positions of authority, the editors, whatever. And so they were able to control the information and consequently the thoughts that would be in our minds. But with the advent of the internet, they lost control. This is the reason why the Rockefellers said that this is unbelievably dangerous, and why they seek and continually seek to put a stranglehold on the control of information that's found here in this wonderful internet.
Kind of like,
but there are teams of people, Shaziz, out there right now.
Oh, I believe
hundreds
it.
And hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are paid for by the intelligence community to go out there and infiltrate alternative sources of information like this one, okay?
And rewrite history.
Continually sow the seeds of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Yeah,
and confuse people and deceive people and, you know, mislead people.
Rewriting history.
That's another tactic, Shiz. I'm sorry for talking so long.
Oh, no, you're fine. There's so much to be said here. Yeah. I mean, they're rewriting history in school.
Yeah, the other tactic that they do is, because they realize that, hey, the genie's out of the bottle with the internet, instead of trying to control each and everything, what they do is, well, now we'll just do this. Now we'll just put so much information out there. We'll put so much contradictory, conflicting information out there that people won't know what to believe.
Bingo.
Because they'll be in a cult, they'll be in a galactic sea of information, and they won't even know where to begin to sift, how to sift through it, and who to trust.
I think Kent was talking about that earlier.
Go ahead.
I think Kent was talking about that earlier, how exhausting it is just to try to sort through all the crap.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You still there, Kent?
Kent, your mic is muted.
Yes, I do. I do have my mic muted. But it's not because I don't want to talk to you. It's just I don't want to interrupt.
But weren't you saying earlier how it's flat out exhausting to try to sort through all the crap? Because you can't tell the difference.
Michael's right. It's a sea of a galactic sea of tidbits and half truths and truth mixed with lies, and it's a veritable smorgasbord of goodies that you have to sift through, and it's quite a daunting task. Most people won't do it. They're too busy, you know, Survivor's coming on in 30 minutes and I got something better to do.
Now they got a show on TV called Naked and Afraid, and I don't know if you've ever seen this show, but they literally put people naked into the middle of a swamp full of alligators, mosquitoes, snakes, and spiders, and everything. And they're
I have seen that.
They got to make it from point A to point B butt naked.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound like really good vacation time to me.
No, it don't, man. You ain't going to get me naked in no swamp. That's for damn sure.
You got copperheads and all the nasty snakes running around. You got snapping turtles out there. Alligator snappers. I don't want my junk anywhere near that.
But here's the thing. This is what shows that there's a serious something going on, because, you know, now people are actually sitting around watching this. Okay, these folks are naked out there in the middle of nowheresville, in the middle of a swamp with alligators and snapping turtles and all this kind of stuff. Your average Joe would never go out there and do that, but this is supposed to be like showing how a human can triumph over anything, you know, go through this whole deal. But to me, it's something different. There's something that I just can't verbalize that is going on here, like the I can't even say it anymore, of like all the wars and all the stupidity, all this information that everybody's being bombarded with. There's no surprise to me that people on this planet are going nuts.
Shiz is, it's in the protocols. What they're trying to do is divide the family of man in every way possible. Religious, ethnic, political, social classes. They want man to hate man. Because in that divisiveness, in that division, you ever hear the old adage, united we stand, divided we fall?
Yeah.
Well, they know this well. And that is their plan. If they can divide man and they can make man hate man, then they'll use that fear and anger and envy against man to have this ignorant mob run around and do their bidding. And that's why, you know, we're being programmed right now everywhere to hate Muslims. You know, how many racially charged stories have been circulating in the media the last several months?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just constantly sowing seeds of hatred and division. And this is what it's all about. This is right out of their protocols. When you guys look at this stuff, you won't believe it. It's staggering.
But all you got to do
at the
is
scope of their control. Yeah.
All you got to do is look at what we've thrown on the table so far. I mean, it's right out there on the table in front of you. For everything from cameras to scanning your identity and all this kind of stuff here, it's all there right there on the table. The racial divide, the battle between the Democrats versus Republicans versus Libertarian, all this kind of divide and conquer stuff. I mean, it's right there in your face. You can see it. People aren't rooting for representation. They're rooting for the blue team or the red team.
And here's the great thing, Shaziz. When we know what their plans are, it's one of the greatest things in any battle that you can ever... If you know what your enemy is going to do before he does it, that gives you a distinct advantage of how to respond. And so I think, thank God, that these protocols of the learned elders of Zion are out there so that people can look at them and they could think about them and they could critically look at what's happening in the world and see the hands of these people behind the scenes, in the shadows, in the shade, this invisible force that is really in control.
And there you go. There's a solution right there. By having
this is the real solution, Shiz. The real solution is this. And because I mentioned this earlier, this is a spiritual war. What these people are doing is they're seeking the enthronement of what a Christian would call the Antichrist. Okay? The ruler, this great king that they want to enthrone. They want to prepare the world to enthrone their king. Okay? And for us, in our eschatology, we would say, well, that's sure looks like Antichrist. Now, again, because it's a spiritual war that we're in, the spiritual war has been won, Shaziz. Okay? The victory has been achieved. If you, you know, for a Christian, from a Christian standpoint, you know, Jesus was the Son of God who came into the world to restore the broken relationship that existed between God and man from the time of our first parents. And so that restoration of relationship has been achieved. And so the victory has been won. And so for all those that really want to be at peace, okay, and to really be at peace and to really be free from fear, focus on that. Focus on that point. Focus on that relationship. All those that are in union with him are you know, they gain access through, with, and in him to the Heavenly Father. So I know it sounds like I don't mean to be preaching, folks, but when you're talking about a spiritual war, that spiritual reality, that's what it's all about here. It's about Jesus versus the prince of this world.
Well, you know
the
what?
The adversary of God. And these people, these human beings, now some people would suggest that they might not be entirely human. Well, I'm not even concerned with that. All I'm concerned with, they worship God's adversary. And we worship the real God. Okay? And there's where we have to focus. I mean, biblically, it's written about, we're not fighting against, you know, men. We're fighting against principalities, powers, dominions, thrones, all those things that Paul is mentioning there in those in that epistle is the choirs of the fallen angels, the demons, the fallen angels that became demons. These things work in cooperation with these Khazarians.
Well, you don't even...
And it's spooky stuff, man.
Yeah, it is.
This is it. This is... You want to talk about the really real? All right, now, there are people that believe that the veil that we have over our eyes, not to be able to see certain things, just like you're not able to see certain parts of the spectrum of visible lights, okay, and all the wavelengths of light, you can't see them, well, that we know they're there. Well, just in the same way, there are spiritual realities, folks, and we can't see them, but someday that veil will be drawn. Well, and boy, it's going to be a wide awake experience for many people.
Let me make a point while it's still on my brain here. You don't even have to be a believer to understand that there's some sort of spiritual thing going on, because no matter which way you believe, which way you lean, I mean, if you look, government is trying to, somebody's trying to boot God away from any government, alright? And
yeah,
somebody's trying to start a war over my religion's different than yours, I gotta strap a bomb to myself and blow you up kind of stuff, or,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's continuously in your face, and no matter which conspiracy you look at, you can take it down both paths. These folks out there who are at the top, they believe in something. They believe in something so much that they're willing to kill for it. They're willing to lie and steal for it. And so, with that said, if the guy at the top, who is the most wealthy of all, is a Satan worshiper, whether there is or isn't a Satan, doesn't that not say that there is definitely a spiritual war, because he's using everything at his disposal to manipulate the masses into believing one way or direction, one way or the other, an agenda, and following that agenda, and you can see it plain as day. If you go hop around from chat room, and you listen to different YouTube videos, and listen to the comments in the section, these folks are battling back and forth. There is a God. There ain't a God. There is a God. There ain't a God, you know? And they quote things that they've seen on the internet, such as Zeitgeist, or the Learned or the Elders of Zion book, or whatever. There's so many different conflicting deals. If this isn't a spiritual war, even if you're a non-believer, if you can't step back and see that there's something spiritual going on here, whether we're all beings of lights or aliens or creations of God, which that's where I lean towards, there's a spiritual war definitely in your face. It's going on. I mean, there is a difference between good and evil. There is definitely evil in the world. I mean, in my eyes, a baby starving on the other side of the planet, that's evil. If there's a baby being blown up in a war-torn zone, that's evil. If some man is taking some other man's life, which he has no right to do so, no matter in what circumstances outside of maybe self-defense, as far as I'm concerned, that's evil. You know, there's pure freaking evil going on in front of your face. If that's not a spiritual war, then what is it?
Well, I'll tell you what, Shaziz, that's absolutely correct. And what they've done is they've affected the very culture in which we live. They've affected the very philosophy of life, of understanding objective truth. All of those things have been affected by how they've manipulated education and how they've emphasized certain types of modern philosophical thought. Okay, among them, they've advocated Darwinism. Look at the catastrophic effect that had upon religion. That was from them. The other thing, let's see, what else? Nietzscheism. Okay, that's another thing. Marxism. All these things were their instruments. Okay, modern philosophical thought. Just put doubts in man's mind about what is real, what is objectively true. Is there such a thing?
That's the big point.
Truth? And so, I mean, if you have to go back to classic philosophy before you get into this modern crap, okay, and that's exactly what it is, to really come in contact with reality, and I'm talking about Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, and that's how, you want to know how to think? They know. They've studied the classics, the Khazarians. They know what's right from wrong. They know reality, and they live in accordance with right reason.
You said
okay?
Something.
Now they're just on the opposite side. They're fighting on the other side. But those people know what truth is. Okay.
You said something very. You said something very important there, Michael.
Go ahead.
When you're talking about the seed of doubt right there. Well, if you can plainly see it with your own two eyes and ears when you watch the mainstream media, especially if they're doing something on UFOs, right? They'll come out with all the evidence for the UFO, and they'll take you halfway through the show and make you believe that UFOs are possible, and then at the very end of it, they drop that seed of doubt inside there. So now your mind is in conflict with itself. Is it true?
Sure.
Is it not true? And they do the same thing with religion. Is it true? Is it not true? And so you're continuously battling in your own mind to try to grasp what is the truth.
They don't want you to have a firm footing in anything, Shaziz. They want you to constantly be in this nebulous, unknown. They don't want you to have any kind of certitude about anything.
Thus forth and we that, come back to the full circle. I'm sitting here, I'm in the waiting room. I'm waiting around for World War III. I'm waiting around for the apocalypse. I'm waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. I'm waiting around for everything under the sun. I'm trying to find out what the ultimate truth is. I know what my truth is, and you know what your truth is, and everybody
well,
here.
Just it, Shaziz, if it's true at all, it's going to be one. It's not me or you. There isn't relativity to truth. There, that idea, the whole notion of relativity is garbage.
Yep.
Okay? There is a truth. There is an objective truth. And if something is true, then science would point to that same truth, and religion would point to that same truth. The oneness of truth. The universality of truth. There wouldn't be this subjective truth where in my mind that's what the truth is, or in your mind that's what the truth is, but no, an objective truth outside of the mind that is in reality true. You see?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that they've tried to do, is they've tried to make that, they've inserted that relativism, that relativistic thinking to everything about morality, about ethics, everything you can think about, alright?
And they know...
That, my friend, is part of the problem. The other thing that you said just a second ago, and you used the illustration of the UFOs, there's two great authors out there. One fellow, Chuck Missler, the other guy, Mark Eastman. And they did a book And they've also done YouTube videos. I hope that you guys have had a chance to look at this. It's called Alien Encounters. And, it's just awesome. What they do is they look at all of the UFO data that's available. Every kind of sighting, all of the abductions, close encounters, all those things. They went through them all. They interviewed a lot of these people. And they looked, and they came away with the conclusion that, you know what, there's just too much here, and the people that experience, they're just too credible. And the profiles of the individuals that say this, and the evidence suggests that these people are telling the truth. Now, not all of them are valid. Many of them are, and many more might not be. But for the ones that are proven true, that something happened, and they have firm footing for saying so.
Well, here's a twisted thought.
The amazing thing, she says, I'm almost there, she says. The amazing thing is that they're saying that what people believe about little gray men or little green men or whatever, okay, they're saying that, you know what, it's not what you think it is. They believe that the beings that come in contact with men are not corporeal beings. That means incarnate beings, beings that have bodies, okay, like you and I do. They believe that these beings are interdimensional or transdimensional. They think that these beings are actually demons in disguise. And believe me, how they lay it out, and when they talk about what exactly are these aliens saying to us when they come in contact with us. Why would an alien travel millions of miles to fill our minds with some kind of new age gobbledygook, which we already have access to here in the world? There's nothing new in what they're saying. But what they do say does come in conflict with traditional religious views about existence. And so those kinds of things, for these guys, and they're coming at it from a Christian perspective, they acknowledge the existence of these events. And they say these people are telling the truth. But it's not what they think it is. What they're looking at is not an alien, okay? Or if you want to call it an alien, it's an extraterrestrial being that's a spiritual being. Okay? And I know it sounds wild, but this is all part of a great deception. Again, I think the Khazars, the Khazarians, are behind this as well, because they want to deceive as many people as possible. And when one takes into consideration the control they have over education, entertainment, the media of communications, and how they have been sowing seeds in mainstream media about the existence of UFOs and aliens, that tells you everything.
Well, and I think
about it, because where the source is coming from, it's coming from an untrusted source. It's coming from a controlled source, and they've been feeding this stuff to us for decades.
I think proof positive of what you're saying is what I'm fixing to say now. Each and every individual out there, they believe something, and so when they repeat it, they're not lying. I mean, that's their belief. That's what they believe, you know?
Yeah, they're telling the truth.
But
they're telling the truth about what they're seeing, but there's a reality to what they're seeing, and then there's the perception of what they're seeing.
Yeah,
right?
But they're not lying. I mean, they really truly believe what it is that they're saying. And
absolutely.
And with that said, so with all the manipulation behind the scenes, and we know that we're manipulated all the time. I mean, if you watch a commercial, you're being manipulated. They're trying to convince you that this is a good product to buy. Disregard the little fine print down at the bottom that said that this particular drug has god-awful side effects. It's worse than the actual disease, but, you know, hey, this will make a man out of you. Go ahead and take this drug.
Sure.
Hey.
Yeah.
Follow blindly is what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing people following blindly things, information that they're being fed. I mean, because they truly believe it. And With that said,
that's the thing. It's almost like Shaziz. It's just like one constant sheep pen from one to the other. It's almost like if you have information out there and people are starting to scratch the surface of truth, you know, like for instance, like there's like stages of awakening. There is a period, like you might get to a point where you'll start listening to Alex Jones or Mark Dice or other guys like of that ilk, okay? And you'll start listening to those guys and you're just like, wow, listen to Alex Jones. Boy, this guy's alternative media. Boy, listen to the truth that he says. Boy, I've never heard this before. And they get sucked in. And then they start believing that this guy is totally above board and he himself is not an instrument of these Khazarians, because he is. Okay? They control him too. And, you know, there's a lot of people that it's almost like, okay, the sheep that just got out of the general pen where everyone's still asleep, oh, okay, they just went to the next pen. Well, they got out of that, but we're going to trap them here and still control the information, but it's coming from a different source. Well,
when Kent said that this is a possible psyops, I mean, come on, step back and look at the picture. What more psyop can you get than being trying to twist your mind into all different directions, divide and conquer, to get people to believe or disbelieve?
Here's how you can tell, Shaziz. Ask Alex Jones if you can ever get on his show, and I invite Kent and Dublin to do this as well. Try and contact Alex Jones or try and get him to respond in any way on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Just try and get him to comment on it and see what he says.
He probably ain't going to say nothing because he probably already knows. I mean, how does somebody actually get into an elite organization down there whenever he went into, supposedly went into, what was that?
The Bilderberg Group or the Bohemian Group.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He makes it
in. Yeah, there's no way that anyone is going to be anywhere near that facility. It would be locked down. There'd be Secret Service crawling all over the place. It's a joke.
And coming out with video to boot.
And I don't believe what we saw was the actual ritual and ceremony. I think what we saw was what they wanted us to see. I had a 35-year retired member of the NSA. I knew this guy, okay? I worked with this guy for 6 months. This guy told me this, Jesus. He said, the information that you receive on mainstream media or anywhere else is the information that they want you to receive. Now, there are other indicators that would show that Alex Jones is a tool, okay? Just like Fox News, CNN, everything else.
Yep.
ABC, NBC, CBS, you name the alphabet news agency or network, it's controlled.
It's funny how people can look at a magician, you know. A magician, he shows you what he wants you to see, you know. Like, he'll have a coin in his hand, and you'll see that coin disappear. But in the whole grand scheme of things, stepping back and looking at the big picture, you didn't see him either drop it down his sleeve or shift it behind his hand or whatever and show you an empty hand. And so if you can be deceived by a magician, why couldn't you be deceived by some government elite trying to force some agenda on people? So, you know, with that said, when we're wading through the cesspool that we call the information world out there and we're trying to do research and do what we do, it's exhausting. Just like Kent said, it will literally wear you down.
Yeah.
And I think it's designed to do just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And that's where you have to be. Always keep your wits about you, Shaziz, and always keep your eyes focused on one thing, and that's the Lord, okay? There's a great story, and you know it well, Shaziz, from the New Testament. and our Lord came to Peter in the boat with the rest of the apostles, walking on the water. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, bid me come unto the water." And he walked. He got out of the boat, and he started to walk. And then when Peter took note of the winds and the waves, he started to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And he stretched out his hand, and Jesus took him by the hand and saved him. But the thing was, he's like, "Peter, why did you doubt?" And see, the thing is, when we take note of the winds and the waves, Shaziz, we become distracted and we lose our focus and we've taken our eyes off of the Lord. And that's the key, bud. We gotta focus and stay riveted to Him. Come what may, doesn't matter what they do to us, as long as we stay faithful and true to Him, we'll be all right. And that's it, buddy.
Yeah.
That's where we gotta be.
It's easy to get sucked down the rabbit hole, though. You know, you got to be careful. When you're sorting through all this information, everybody wants freedom. Everybody wants peace. I ain't talked to anybody and his brother out there who says, yeah, we just need to go over and bomb the crap out of everybody and his brother and kill off everybody, women and children and babies and all that kind of stuff. Everybody that I've ever talked to on a personal level, face-to-face, out here in the real world, has had nothing but love for other human beings, you know? Right. Somebody could be a total jerk, but if they see you dying in the ditch, they're not going to walk by and just leave you there, you know? They're going to try. They're going to try to help you out.
Yeah, because we are commanded to love. We're commanded to love everyone we see. Not merely the person that's in another country where it's kind of this nebulous love of humanity, no. But love that neighbor that's right next door or right in our own home, you know? That irritating idiot that just bothers the hell out of us. That's the person that we're commanded to love. Our neighbor, you know? And the one that's closest to us, the one that's right next to us, the one that's right next door. Okay? And that's an awesome thing. And that's the command. And that's the new commandment.
When you're talking about love and the power of love and all that kind of stuff, I'm still overwhelmed. I'm fascinated because we get to talk to people from Spain and Australia and all over the world. With these tools that we got right now, we're finding out that the people on the other side of the world are just like us. They're people.
They are, Shaziz. And that's exactly right. And one of the beauties of this wonderful, this great Skype program and the internet itself is that we can reach out across the borders, around the world, and come in contact with people. And oh my God, we find out that, you know what? They're not the boogeymen that we've been led to believe. They're not the enemy. They're good people, just like you and me in Kent and Dublin.
And so if you were a member of the elite and you saw the internet and the power that the internet and the power of each individual person out there, of their voice and being able to share information, I would say that you would need to be seriously concerned because your global agenda is in jeopardy every chance that we get a chance to talk to one another across the world. I mean, I can ask Dublin or Kent, you know, hey, what's going on in your neighborhood? And is it true that this is happening over there? And you say, no, I'm looking out my door. Everything's fine.
Absolutely. And that's why it's the greatest threat, you know, to them. Because no longer are they able to keep people in darkness as they once were. In the information age, ignorance is a choice. And so for us that have the access to this information, you know, we can find the answer. We just have to look. And thank God we still have it. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about them having a kill switch and all this kind of stuff. And I know that certain inroads have been made by these people in certain countries like China, for instance, to give you an example. You cannot find in China, with the use of the internet, a picture of Tank Man that stood standing in front of a column of tanks during the Tiananmen Square massacre, Tiananmen Square uprising in China all those years ago. They can't find it on the internet, Shaziz, because it's been conveniently removed there. It's been scrubbed so that they have no access to that photograph and the inspiring courage that was shown there.
Do you remember
this? That, you know, it just goes to show you, man, they're making inroads in the controls of information. I know they control how you search. The search engines
are already
under their control. Go ahead, Jesus.
Do you remember the story of Pandora's box?
Go ahead, Jesus.
You know, once that box was open, it could never be closed ever again. And so the Achilles heel, as far as my eyes are concerned, of the elite and their plan to dominate the world in any means necessary is the fact that Pandora's box has been opened. You know, it's kind of like this. Once a man has tasted freedom, you're never going to get that man back in bondage without a fight. And so even if they were to somehow manage to shut down the internet, we'll start sending smoke signals or balloons or carrier pigeons or word of mouth. You know,
and there's also this, Shazaz, there's also things called TOR tour and the deep web and all this kind of stuff. Now, again, folks, I'd recommend never going on these places without an absolutely fortress of security before you even think about attempting it, because if you go on these places, I mean, you will definitely come down with some kind of a virus if you're not prepared, or have someone go in and steal information from your computer, like, you know, bank accounts or credit card numbers or social security numbers or whatever, your identity. So,
been down again, that road.
Even if they shut down what we know to be the World Wide Web, there is another place to go using, basically, it's like an underground web. Deep web. Yeah, hidden wiki, it's called.
Yep. I've been there, done that. Know what you're talking about, brother.
So there you go. I just share that with the audience to let them know that, hey, there is another place to go if, you know.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't even dare going in there without some serious encrypted algorithm type security. You know?
We will find what means by which to communicate, because, like I said, Pandora's box is open, and so they've got the work cut out for them. You know, the only option that they got is to kill us. The only option that they got is to shut down the internet, because...
Well, that's their plan for us all, Shazaz. I mean, the Georgia Guidestone tells us quite clearly, and this is, you know, a Masonic edifice. And they use the Masons. I mean, the Khazars are not the Masons. The Masons are a tool of the Khazarians. And so when they put that edifice out there in Georgia and calling for a total population on the planet Earth to be 500 million, that means, what is there, what, 6-point-something billion people on the planet? So let's say there's 6.5 billion people. You're talking about the deaths of 6 billion people on the planet Earth to satisfy the principles of the Georgia Guidestones, or the tenets of the Georgia Guidestones. It's just pure and concentrated evil.
Well,
and when I see this stuff going on with chemtrail spraying and genetically modified organisms in our food and all of this kind of crap and the immunizations and vaccines that are going to be forced upon us, you know,
just
all these things are part of the plan of the reduction of the population, of the great death wish that they have for all non-Khazarian people.
Well, just the mere fact that those stones even exist and say what they do ought to be a red flag to somebody. I mean, come on, man.
You know,
that means somebody's out there thinking that, you know. And if they're out there thinking that, then what are they doing to try to make it come to pass?
Yeah, I hear you.
So,
but what are you going to do, man? Again, I just say, you know, you just got to... We have to be witnesses to hope in this world, Shazaz. You want to know what the real solution is, man? I said keep your eyes focused on the Lord. But it's this as well. In addition to that, you become a saint. Being saints, that's what we have to be. You want to win the world? You want to win the world back to God? Become a saint.
Kind of like
be a blinding radiance in this world of darkness, Shazaz.
Kind of
be the most moral, virtuous, loving, kind person that you can possibly be.
Kind of like what I keep saying all the time. You lead by example. You live your life the best that you can. And when people look from the outside looking in, they see that there's something working for you, that they might adopt that into their own life and make the world a little better.
They will look at you, Shazaz, and they will see in you a blinding radiance. And they'll say to themselves, what is it about that man? What is it about that woman? I want to be like them. What makes them happy? Why are they so happy? Why are they walking around with a smile on their face amidst this chaos? I want to be like them. And that's all it takes, Shazaz. And you know what, talk about preaching... You know, you don't even have to preach and never use a word. You just live your life, and you live in accordance with that. And, man, I'm telling you, you want to talk about And it's all about, you said this how many times, Shaziz, about the positive ripples in the pond?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not it, man. You said that, you've said that so many times, and you're so right. And there it is.
So earlier we were talking about the way that the court system's set up and the way that it's so twisted that the average Joe can go in there and say the wrong thing and get hung right out of the gate. And so I said, we need a manual that's essentially like going to court for dummies, you know, so that your average Joe can try to protect himself. And we also need the same type of manual, you know, surviving the Matrix for dummies, you know, because you got to take everything that you see with a grain of salt. You got to step back. You got to look at the entire big picture, weigh out the evidence presented to you, because there are entities out there who are trying to sell you something. You know?
Yeah. You know, Shaziz, it's interesting that you should say that, and I'm going to bring this back to what we were talking about. You know, there were times in the Bible where it talks about don't be afraid about what you're going to say or what you're going to do, but if you're, and again, I mean, I think this is probably a Christian would understand this more than anyone else, but you know, God forbid you'd ever find yourself in a courtroom. But if you, again, if you focused on that and you were like, let's say that you were there under false charges or something like that, don't be afraid of you know, what you're going to say. Just pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, to have Him touch your heart and your mind and to know the right things to say. And if you have that faith, Shaziz, and you really believe that, I mean, that will happen, man. It will happen. I know there was one instance where there was a pro-life woman, and she was in the courtroom, and they asked her, would you like legal counsel? And she was a pro-lifer. She was a defender of unborn babies. And they said, would you like legal counsel or a lawyer? And she declined. She refused. And she's just like, and the judge said to her, hey, what's the matter with you? Don't you know that you have to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's? And she said to the judge in reply, the bodies of our unborn children do not belong to Caesar. And she was inspired to say that, she says.
Well, that's a pretty powerful deal, too.
It's a powerful thing to just, again, always put your faith and your trust and yourself into the hands of the Lord, and He's going to take care of you. And what can they do to you then, Shaziz? What does it matter? What does it matter if they take our life? It doesn't matter one hoot, because we would be one with Jesus, and you know where we're going to go right after that? I mean, straight to heaven, man. So it's just like, always keep that focus.
What was that movie that Mel Gibson, I think it was Mel Gibson, the one where he says, you may take away our life, but you'll never take away our freedom?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And that's it. That was Braveheart. And that was William Wallace, the character that he was portraying in that film. And he said it so beautifully. And that's the thing. It's just, you know, what can they do to us? You know, so what? They kill us. But again, the war has been won. The victory has been achieved by Christ. And all those that are united to Him will also reap that victory. You know, He's the King. He is the King. You know, we right now we're living under the dominion of the prince of this world, but Christ is King. You know, Satan has his day, or Satan has his hour. The Lord's going to have His day. Okay? And right now we're living where I believe we're living in Satan's hour, in the prince of this world's hour. But God's going to have His day. And when that day comes, everything's going to get better. Right?
Yeah.
Just stay focused on that, man. You know?
When you look back in history and you see all the different documentations out there, books on the Masons and books on the Illuminati and the Learned Elders of Zion and the Bible and all these different forms of information that come from way back. I'm talking way back. Some of these past the 1700s and on back even further than that. You look at what was actually said in those books, you know, regardless of whether you believe that any of them's true or whatever. You know, they say the Bible is one of the greatest fictions ever written. All right, well, look inside that book. and you match it up with what you see in society today and tell me that somebody back there didn't know something, I'm going to say you have to be blind, because whoever wrote those books, whether they be the good Bible, the bad Bible, the Learned Elders of Zion, and all the different texts thereof, what they wrote about is what we're seeing today, you know?
Yeah, we're living it, man.
Yeah.
We're living it.
I mean, now, there's cameras on every corner, for Pete's sake.
A lot of the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion have come to fruition.
The Bible
and
says...
We're in it, man.
The Bible says... You won't. There'll come a time when you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. All right. Well, what are we going to classify the mark of the beast? Are we going to classify it as a driver's license that you can scan with all your information on it, or a tattoo, or a microchip, or any of that? Regardless of what, you can't buy or sell without certain things today. You know, you obviously can't buy or sell without money, and then there's symbolism on the money that means something. Somebody put it there for a purpose, whether it was just to pretty up the dollar bill or whatever, but you follow those symbolism back through history. There's people in history that weren't such nice individuals that those were their symbols.
Absolutely.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, and I'm just so happy that, I tell you what, man, I'm just so blessed to have known you, and I'm so happy to be a part of your great network, your radio network here, and to be able to share with you these thoughts to the world, and to the planet, and to everyone listening, and hopefully we'll have this able to share with everyone in future generations, because... this is such an important thing to get this message out, Shaziz.
Well, and that's why I've spent so much time behind the scenes trying to build this massive network, you know, a platform for people to come to and speak common sense respectfully for one another. You know, we don't have to agree on who's right and who's wrong and all that kind of stuff. What we need to do is put the evidence on the table, present it to one another, and calmly sit there and talk over and figure out a solution how we can literally make our world a better place. And we're not going to get that sitting there arguing amongst each other who's right and who's wrong. That doesn't do nothing to further the cause. Things like what we did with the Shout It From the Mountain and other shows that are out here on these radio networks are actually bringing forth evidence, things that people have observed. You know, maybe some of the evidence that's put in front of us has been presented to us for a purpose via some government organization that's trying to manipulate what we think, but we're looking at it with a skeptical eye and common sense, and we're sorting through this mess, which is it's a mega mess. It's a massive of epic proportions mess, and it'll literally drive you insane if you let it. And so what I'm trying to point out to everybody is we need to continue to do what we're doing, continue to share all this information on the networks, but be cautious about information that we pass on to the next guy, because, like I said, it's not a lie if you believe, you truly believe what you just said. It's not a lie. But that doesn't mean that you aren't manipulated into saying it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Or you were just deceived by what you saw. You know, you saw something and you thought it was X when it actually was Y.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing.
I think the ultimate goal, what we're all here, what we've all come together, the ultimate goal is truth. We're here to find the truth, literally. We want the big picture. You know, maybe there's a show out there that had something to do with Vietnam. I can't remember what the name of that movie was either, but I refer to movies a lot because life imitates art. But in this movie, the guy says, "You can't handle the truth." You know?
Oh, that was with Tom Cruise, and it was also with...
Jack Nicholson?
With Jack Nicholson, yeah.
Yeah.
I know the one you mean, and I can't remember the title of the film. A Few Good Men, I think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe we can't handle the truth. Maybe when we finally find the truth, it'll be so devastating that it'll be just beyond all of our wildest belief. But I, for one, am willing to take that chance to literally find the truth, because the lies that I've had to sort through just to get to this point in time to try to throw these positive pebbles out there in a pond, I don't want to throw a positive pebble out there in the pond that's truly a negative pebble, if you know what I mean.
I want to,
if I find information, if there really was or is a Planet X coming to get us, I would like to have everybody prepared, but my scientific mind tells me that if we get hit by another planet, no bunker is going to matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just like, why worry about something like that? There's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
If the big rock comes and hits the planet, what the heck are you going to do? You can't, you have no control over that. Therefore, why fear? Why worry? And I just look at that and just think, you know, fear is a powerful thing. And the Khazarians understand how to utilize that emotion to get people to, or I should say, in order to manipulate people. If I can keep a population always afraid, always nervous, always worried, always looking for the sky to fall, then they're much more easily manipulated than if they were at rest and in a state of calm, rational demeanor.
Yeah, and so it's a prime.
It's almost like they want to keep people constantly in a panic state, constantly afraid, constantly worried, and all these stories that we heard. I mean, look at it. Let's go back to the 2000, Y2K. Remember the big terrifying thing, event that was going to take place with Y2K? The biggest non-event in human history, okay? How about Elanin? Nothing happened. Nibiru? Nothing happened. The Mayan calendar? Nothing happened. Well, all these things.
All of which.
Beating the drum over us, trying to keep us afraid. And you know what, Shaziz? We got to go back to the Bible again about this fear thing. Because guess what? It's written 300 times in sacred scripture. Three things. Be not afraid, have no fear, or fear not. I think God is trying to give us, I think God's trying to send us a message there, folks, about fear. Because he knew from all eternity what the prince of this world was going to try and do to us all. Try and make us afraid.
Well, all
but
of
we
it.
We have to be witnesses of hope.
All of it.
In this world of darkness and in this world of fear. Go ahead.
All of it is a prime example of enough distractions in all different directions to literally keep you from being what it is that you could truly be and accomplish. So with all these different distractions and doomsday scenarios out there, you aren't focused on being the best that you can be or to living up to your true potential and the talents that you have therein to live your life, you know?
Yeah.
You're not living your life. You're subservient to the system that is keeping you so distracted that you can't even spend the time with your children to enjoy watching them grow up. Before it's all said and done, you went so far down the rabbit hole, you missed out on your mom and your daughter and your wife and all that kind of stuff. And so,
absolutely,
it's time to step back. Take a deep breath, ground yourself to the earth, and feel nature around you. Get good with your faith, and trust in what your eyes and your heart and everything in conjunction with each other tells you, not just what you hear.
Yeah, and that's it. That's it exactly, Shaziz. You know, it does... You talked about the family a second ago, and the one thing that the prince of this world wants to do is not only destroy, he wants to destroy man, and he does it by attacking the family, attacking fatherhood, attacking motherhood, and to divide the family, you know, and he does this economically, he does this culturally, he's trying to destroy that building block of society. He's always trying to do this, you know. The prince of this world, the adversary of God, can no longer affect or attack God or even do anything like that. So what he does is try and attempt to destroy the image and likeness of God in the world. And that's you and me and every man, okay? Every man and woman is made in the image and likeness of God. Male and female, he created him, it says in Genesis, right? So that's what he's trying to destroy. Okay?
Well, I'd like...
And he can't destroy God, so he's trying to destroy the image and likeness of God in man, and to destroy man. That's the reason why he has this great death wish for us all. And it's diabolical, it's evil, and this is the reason why marriage is down and families and divorce is so high. All this has his fingerprints all over it, or I should say his cloven hoof print all over it in the world that we live in. And so realizing this, we have to step back and we have to reevaluate, as you were just saying a second ago, and reprioritize what's really important in our life. It's the loved ones around us, it's our families, it's our neighbors, it's our relationship with God, self, and others. That's the most important thing.
I've got a lot of friends.
That's where we need to focus. Yeah,
I've got a lot of friends around the world, and they have some pretty in-depth conversations with me. And I found that there's one thing that stands clear that every single one of my friends from around the globe have in common, and that's the fact that a lot of them are really truly depressed. I mean, they are bummed out beyond belief, because in their heart they know that the world could be a better place. In their eyes and their ears, they're seeing all the craziness, and they're trying to want to throw the positive pebbles out there. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to seek the truth. They're doing everything under the sun, and they take themselves so far down the rabbit hole because in their heart, in their mind, in their beliefs, they want to save the world just like you and I. But the fact that the mess is so overwhelming, it brings them to a state of depression in their own lives, their financial problems, their relationship problems and stuff like that. And a lot of what we're talking about is the reason why they're having these problems is because they have went so far down the rabbit hole that they've neglected, not maybe intentionally, but neglected while trying to protect their family, they've neglected their family. You see where I'm coming from?
Just a moment ago, were you referring to the Khazarians?
In which respect?
What you just said a second ago, what you were talking about is they might think that they're doing something good, but in actual...
No, I was basically talking about the overall picture. That,
oh, I got you. I'm with you.
Because,
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, Shazis.
No, that's fine. Because of all the different things and all the different information that we're being bombarded with, and all the different, believe in this or don't believe in that, all the different things that we're being bombarded with on a daily basis, and it has to be intentional. It can't just be an accident or coincidence, you know. I don't believe the world's total chaos. I believe that there are controlling entities behind the scenes that want to steer society in one direction or another, and that suppress information and technology and literally rewrite history before your
Absolutely.
Very eyes. And so,
yeah, there's a line in George Orwell's 1984. It's something like this, and forgive me if I'm not quoting it correctly, but it's, he who controls... the future, or no, he who controls the past controls the future, and he who controls the future controls the past. It's profound, but it's true.
Yeah.
And if you can manipulate history, then you'll be able to control the future. And yeah, that's exactly what's happened. Revisionist history.
And there's another really strong point to make here, and that is that, we talk a lot about love, all right? And one of the best weapons that we've got against all the evil in the world is love. But then again, that same weapon can be turned on us because they use things to pull heartstrings to manipulate masses into doing things they otherwise wouldn't even have considered. You see where I'm coming from?
Absolutely. They're always going to use emotion because, see, here's the thing. This is the reason why all the advertising that's out there is all emotionally rooted. It's all based in emotion. It's all based in feelings. It cannot be based in reason, because if they're going to confront persons on a rational basis, it's very difficult to get through. So they don't even want to approach that. They don't even want to go there. They just want to get you feeling that this is going to make me happy if I buy this product, or women are going to love me if I have this car, or babes are going to flock to me if I drink this beer. It's all nonsense, man. It's all garbage, and it's all done, and it's all very it's seductive, because, you know, we look at these things and the things that we see and that which we hear, it goes into our brains and it affects how we think. And they know this. This is the reason why they pay millions and millions of dollars on television and radio advertisements, because they know it has an effect on the human mind and the choices that we make when it comes down to purchasing this, that, or the other thing. So, yeah, I mean, you just gotta, it's like you just said a second ago, it's they always strike at the heart, at the emotions, at the feelings, not at the mind, you know. But yes, it's true, we always want to have soft hearts and strong minds, but
sounds kind of like you put
minds is a very important thing. Critical thinking minds.
Yeah, sounds like you kind of put a false flag out there to get everybody pissed off to go attack a foreign nation.
Just is, I'll tell you what, I can't prove it. I can't prove it because I wasn't there. But I suspect Aurora. I suspect Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. I suspect, let's see,
anything out of mainstream.
Like the last few things that have been happening with, you know, this crazy stuff that happened down in D.C. just recently, this shooter down there that was at the Navy Yard. I suspect that. I suspect this a drill with this woman that was alleged to have been shot and killed with her baby in the car. All these things, I suspect. I can't prove it, but I suspect they're all drills, false flags, designed for a purpose. And that is to bring about the police state. That is to disarm the general population. Because they know, these Khazarians realize the significance of firearms. And they realize that we have over 100 million firearms. People that possess firearms, and that is a significant armed force.
Yeah.
If they want to do, they want to execute their plans, and they know this, and they're going to do whatever they can do to bring that about. Now, the two plans that I see on the horizon that they're trying now, Shiz, is not only to make people to vilify gun owners and to vilify guns. Not only that, but what else they want to do is, that's one tactic to try and get people to willingly surrender their firearms for security. That's one tactic. The other tactic is this, Shiz, and it's relatively new. And it came about as a result of this book, something like, it had, I think, Liberty... the Liberty Amendments or something like that, and it was written by a fellow by the name of Mark Levin. Now, that's a big radio personality on the East Coast and across the country. And this guy wrote this book, and what he's advocating, Shiz, is he's advocating another constitutional convention, and a constitutional convention whereby we would be able to have state representatives gather, okay, and basically revise the existing Constitution of the United States, okay, to make things, they claim, and he claims, to correct the problems that we're facing presently in our government. But the laugh of the thing is, if right now they're already ignoring the Constitution and wiping their feet on it and disregarding it and shredding what's there, what makes you think that passing another amendment is going to correct the corruption that's there? It's a joke. It's ridiculous. It's worthless. What's more, you have no control over the delegates that are going to be sent from the states. And you know how easy it would be to corrupt and influence, bribe, any kind of thing? These people, that's all they do is think of ways of having people do their bidding and do their will. Okay, so tell me how easy it would be for them to corrupt and have as their own puppets these delegates from all 50 states. And at that convention, all they would have to do is just abolish the Bill of Rights altogether. Then we ipso facto lose the entire Bill of Rights, lose the ability to possess firearms, and that will hasten the destruction of this country.
Yeah.
And I see this idea of having a constitutional convention being circulated in alternative media, that's us, okay, and some of these people saying that it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. Any critical thinking person realizes it's not a good thing. But anyway, she says, I'm on my soapbox. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of like the deal where they talk about every time gun control, like, you know, if they disarm the law-abiding citizens, doesn't mean the criminals are going to give up their guns. I mean, by definition, criminals are criminals for a reason.
Yeah.
Hey, do we still have Kent?
Keep your eyes on Shaziz, because when I hear people talking about this is coming and the inevitability that this is going to have, that this constitutional convention is forthcoming, that means that the elites have a plan. That this is going to happen.
Oh yeah.
And that means things are going to have to get unbelievably bad for the American people to clamor, or allegedly clamor, for this thing to become realized. So just keep your, if you want to talk about something that we need to, really work on and to really stand up for, stand up against any constitutional convention. It's absolutely the worst thing that you can have. There's a couple really nice little short little comments made by the John Birch Society. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
But they give some really good arguments as to what's wrong with Mark Levin's book and the notion of having another constitutional convention.
Well,
when they had the first one, by the way, in 1787, okay, there were people like Samuel Adams, the same guy that the beer's named after, okay?
Yeah.
Samuel Adams, who was the president of the Articles of Confederation, all right? Patrick Henry, he said, I smell a rat. Now, at the time, in the United States' history, we were living under the Articles of Confederation because we were a confederation of 13 individual colonies, all right, or 13 individual, in quotes, countries. Not in quotes, in reality. And the Articles of Confederation really weren't strong enough for certain people as far as a centralized government. But Patrick Henry realized what was happening when they had this constitutional convention, and he refused to go, along with several others, including Samuel Adams. Various signatories of the Declaration of Independence refused to attend the constitutional convention. And now you ask yourself this question, Shaziz. Here we are today, a couple hundred years, more than 200 years after the Declaration of Independence, and 1787 was the Constitutional Convention. So here we are, more than 200 years later, from the United States Constitution, the drafting and acceptance. And how right was Patrick Henry when he said, "I smell a rat"? Because guess what? Given time and the fallen nature of man, our system of government has been infiltrated and corrupted from within.
Yeah, and here's...
And the people that are in the government right now, the politicians, they don't listen to us, man.
Here's a
point. They listen to the Khazarians who are pulling their strings.
Here's a point to make.
It's just one puppet after another, man.
When you got the fox guarding the hen house, that's not the time to have the Constitutional Convention.
Absolutely. Well said, Shaziz. I love it.
Anyway, we still got Kent here?
Nah, Ken dropped off, I think. Dublin's here, but he's been silent.
Dublin, you there?
No, he's there. But yeah. I see him. I see him here, but I don't hear him.
No.
You want to take a quick break, man?
Yeah, let me throw on a tune or two. We're getting down to the wire. We've only got 15 minutes left, but I'll throw on a quick tune or two, and we can all take a breather and come back and finish it up. What do you think?
Sounds good, man.
All right, cool.
He says we have covered a whole lot, haven't we?
Yep. I'll be right back. Peace and love, everybody. Hang in there.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. It's fair the rail, my own lover. I never expect to see you again. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunday Valley for many years where I may lay. Love another. Well, I
my face you never will see, no. But there is one promise that is given. I meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible here. So, you know, a lot of people are turned off by religion and they're turned off by a lot of different things in the world. So one of the things that I want to point out is it's not my idea or my intent to try to offend anybody. It's my idea to try to bring people of all different faiths and all different backgrounds to the table to sit there and discuss and work out solutions to problems that we know exist in the world. See, we're all in this boat together. In my personal religious background, belief, however you want to say it, there's a saying in there that says, "Blessed be the peacemakers." And to me, I think we all need to be peacemakers, no matter which religious background that we fall under or political views or anything like that. And so with that said, the Knights of the Round Table, it's not meant for us to try to force our beliefs or views or opinions on anyone. It's about putting information on the table, all right? You know, you've seen the cameras out there. You know that's a real deal. And it affects everybody, no matter what background you're from. And I believe there is a spiritual war going on out there, no matter which background that you believe in, the same. You know, it all boils down to, unless we, the people, actually figure out a way by which we can get away from the beast that's eating us alive, we're going to continue down the same path to death and destruction. And so when religious things come up, you may not always agree with what's being said, or, you know, like I mentioned in there, somebody said the Bible was the greatest fiction ever written in the history of time. But there's truths in every fictional novel out there, no matter how you look at it. Whether it be a documentation that was written thousands of years ago, all the way up to just to hear recently.
Says, here's the thing that I think is so funny. The person that said that it's a fiction, how do they know?
Well, that's the point.
How do they know that? They speak as though that's an absolute reality. But how do they know? Were they there?
Yeah, that's the
thing.
How
do they know? See, it's just like, that's the thing that blows me away. But anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting.
Oh, no, you're fine. See, I don't want anybody out there to get under the opinion that I'm trying to apologize for my religion. I don't apologize for my beliefs. You know, I believe in Jesus and I believe in God, and that's just me. You know, you don't have to believe that way. You don't even have to listen to what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to point out to everybody out there, Michael, you kind of touched on it about the Muslim community. There's people out there of all different faiths. It doesn't make them bad people because of what they believe. You know, it's not lies when somebody believes what they're saying, and they may not be, and I may not be. I may not be fully informed. I may not have got the truth. I could have been manipulated to where I stand today. But right now, where my heart stands and where my truth stands, my reality, my belief system, I believe there's a creator of this world. And with that said, I want to see something positive come out of this deal. No matter what you believe, whether you're an atheist or not, I want to see something positive for this world, because I know we could be doing a whole heck of a lot better. That's the reason why I call my science deal Mad Science, because it ticks me off that here is evidence in front of your face that this is possible, but yet science has seemed to cover up or skirt around the issue and doesn't want it to, you know, they put fiction out there and tell you it's fact or whatever. You know, there's so much information to wade through, it's just ludicrous. And so with that said, the only way that we're going to wade through it is with common sense and love for one another and, you know, respecting each other's beliefs. And so with that said, I ain't got much more that I can say about it. We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, and, you know, I want you guys to have your last word, because it's not all about, oh, King Shaziz the Terrible. It's about putting ideas on the table for everyone to sit back and contemplate on and figure out which is the best path for us to go. So what do you think about that, Michael?
I want to just thank you, Shaziz, for allowing me to share my thoughts with you and your audience, and it's great being here on the Knights of the Round Table.
Well, and it's well appreciated, brother. I believe, like I said earlier, we all are on the same mission. We're seeking the truth, whatever that truth may end up be, and maybe we can't handle it when we find it out, but one way or another, you know, there's a saying out there, truth will set you free. And if you want sovereignty, if you want true freedom, you need to know what the truth is before. Otherwise, you're just going to be manipulated around into believing or saying or living your life in fear, and that's not what that's not freedom. If you're fearful, you're not free. You're not sovereign. You know?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Dublin, are you around? I think we are.
Yeah, enjoy the show. Great stuff, Michael. Being a Christian, I can concur on everything you say, but unfortunately, you will upset some people with any Christian message. That's just the nature of the way the world works. Equally so, if you had a Muslim message, you'd offend Christians, you know, like...
Yeah.
And I know a lot of Muslims, and I get on great with them.
But the point...
I'm the very first to say... Yeah.
The point is, though, everyone has to be heard, whether they be Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, or atheist. Everyone has to be heard. We all have to be sitting down at the table, or we will never get to the bottom of what is the truth. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, Dublin, you were saying something before I interrupted you. Go ahead, Dublin. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I always say, well, I mean, we get great ideas from every source, and if we look at Gandhi from India, who's a, I forget the religion that they have there, but he's certainly not Christian or Muslim, he said, there's enough in the world for our needs, but there can never be enough in the world for our greed. So, you know, the human message, spiritual message comes through in many different directions, and you know, one of the Christian sayings we have is the Lord works in mysterious ways. So if some of the messages come from unexpected sources which are not Christian or not Muslim, well then, you know,
well, sounds like we lost you there, Dublin. One of the things to point out is...
They're speaking the truth, and they're speaking, you know, the truth, and we get on board.
Yeah, that's good. Well said. One of the things to point out is that there's a lot of people out there who have been literally damaged. They've been damaged by churches. There's a lot of churches out there that did a lot of terrible things, you know. There's a lot of organizations out there that did a lot of terrible things, but you can't paint everyone with the same wide brush, because each and every individual, as I've said before, we have talked to people from all different nations, and Dublin, you're in Spain, me and Michael's over here in the States, and Kent, and we talked to people from Australia and all different countries, and you guys are just like us. You guys want the same thing. You want to raise your families. You want to live life and love and peace and happy and harmony. And it's kind of hard to do that when you got somebody at the top or behind the scenes manipulating all the information that's flowing out there. And so it's with wisdom, courage, and common sense that we all need to go forth. And that's what the Knights of the Round Table stands for.
Oh, yeah, well, this is why I would always push the sovereign message, because the sovereign message is we get our inalienable rights from God. And when you look at the sovereign message, it's basically saying everything will be local. You'll have your local sheriff. In actual fact, America was built on the principle of sovereignty, one of the best examples. But the Khazars and the various other tools that, like the Illuminati or the Freemasons, you can see how they're trying to centralize everything and then make it the North American Union and then the one world government. And so anything that's more than really local, like as in a county in America or a county in Ireland, you have to start saying to yourself, that's a bad direction.
Yeah. You know, like, well, I agree with
you,
brother.
Centralization is the road to perdition.
I agree with you, brother. We're eating into Michael's time, so I need to play us up out of here with our theme tunes. And to everybody out there, peace and love, everybody. And just use some common sense and, you know, take in the big picture and make your own informed decisions. Don't believe everything you hear. You know, follow what you know to be the truth. And that's the best advice that I can give you. So with that said, I'm going to get us up out of here. Hey, Michael, I'm sorry I cut into your time.
No, Shaziz, it's okay. I'm glad. I loved being here. Thank you for your words, and thank you, Dublin, for sharing what you did. And also, Ken, thank you for sharing your thoughts. I enjoyed all you guys.
All right. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how do you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. Three dots where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet hunts are able. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire of Camelot. Gable.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. Jesus is the turbo. All wise will king, Jesus is the turbo, and the knights of the round table.